Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
What shoe they want? What size they wear? Grab a CCR gift card and let them get a custom shoe fitting whenever they're ready. And don't forget about our annual holiday sale and celebration. Saturday and Sunday, December 13th and 14th, 10 to 30% off the whole store. That's right, the whole store. See you at CCR and happy running.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We're at the tail end of a disastrous car year.
That's the consensus voiced by Chubba Chetta at Car and Driver magazine.
None of the conditions that have been responsible for the bad sales this fall have really changed. In fact, in some ways, things are getting worse.
As if Chrysler sales, 47% lower than last November, weren't bad enough. General Motors down 41% in November. Ford was off 31%. The CEOs will be back on Capitol Hill on Thursday to make a new plan pitch for federal help. Ford is asking for $9 billion to be available in case they need it. Chrysler says it needs $7 billion by the end of the month. General Motors wants billions right away, too, to survive and to remake itself.
GM, which has said it will run out of cash by the end of the year, says it'll ask for $4 billion right away and $12 billion in loans by March. They say they can start repaying those loans in 2011 and have it all paid back by 2012. GM management is also taking pay cuts, with CEO Rick Wagner and board members working for $1 a year.
WWJ's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit. Will Congress help? Well, it sounds like it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Everybody is disadvantaged by bankruptcy, including our economy. So that's not an option.
She said some kind of intervention is expected. Indications the automakers can expect to get some help? Help Wall Street. The Dow gained 270 points today. The Nasdaq was up almost 52.
There's a sense that we're probably going to trade sideways until the early part of next year, and that any rally that emerges, you're going to have time to get on the bus before it pulls out of the station.
Bernie McSherry at Cotone and Company. Government Accountability Office is out with a quick report on the Treasury Department's oversight, or the lack of it, over the $700 billion bailout package. The GAO report says the Treasury has no mechanism in place to track how the money is actually being used by the big banks. President-elect Obama met with governors of both parties at their convention in Philadelphia today.
We intend to help save or create 2.5 million jobs. We intend to put tax cuts into the pockets of hard-pressed middle-class families in your states.
He also told governors he wants their ideas and their participation in the creation of an economic stimulus package. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's willing to serve in the job as long as the next president desires, saying his understanding is he's in it for the long haul.
President-elect and I agreed that this would be open-ended, and so there is no time frame.
And CBS News has confirmed tomorrow's announcement by the president-elect of New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson as his nominee to become Commerce Secretary. Prison inmates are not supposed to have cell phones in the big house, but when one inmate called a Texas legislator and threatened him, the state's prisons were locked down for most of the last month. Phones found and tossed. A report on it all is due tomorrow. This is CBS News.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett!
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
If you've ever struggled with a sick kid while trying to get his temperature, you'll love the new temporal scanner by Exergen. It works like magic. Just press a button, gently scan your child's forehead, and get an accurate reading, just like that. It's safe, quick, effective, and used by doctors and premier hospitals. Imagine no more sticking thermometers in ears or rears. You can even use it while your child is sleeping. The temporal scanner from Exergen, a better thermometer for your family, and the best money you'll ever spend. Available at the pharmacy, at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
President Bush talks about children and AIDS and compassionate conservatism.
Wanting to be remembered for more than the war in Iraq, President Bush went to Greensboro, North Carolina to trumpet the accomplishments of his program to provide mentoring to the children of parents in prison.
It takes a little bit of extra love, but by helping a child, you can really help the country.
A day after spotlighting the achievements of his global AIDS relief program, President Bush is making an effort to remind Americans of lesser-known components of his legacy. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
Blackwater, one of the world's best-known security companies because of its work protecting dignitaries in Iraq and other world hotspots, has been holding meetings with shipping and insurance companies in London to discuss protecting vessels from Somali pirates in the Gulf of Aden. Blackwater personnel in the main are former special forces. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
It's the time of the year to think about what's important to you. For us, it's giving you great value and building cars that won't let you down. Probably why over the last 10 years, 94% of all Accords are still on the road. So keep doing what's important to you. We'll keep building cars you can count on. Happy Honda Days.
Accord only based on oil pulled vehicles and operation registration statistics 1998 through 2007.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show, now coast to coast, welcoming our new listeners in Boston and New England on the mighty 1510 AM. Great to have you listening. We don't use a pirate satellite, by the way.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio Cats on pirate satellite. Orbiting your living room, catching in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light. Radio Cats on pirate satellite.
It's day two in Boston, and we're delighted to be on the new Progressive Talk outlet there, AM 1510. Jeff Santos gets you up in the morning with a live local radio show, 6 to 9 a.m., and we're here 6 to 9 p.m., Peter B. Collins, originating in San Francisco. You want to find out more about me? It's on the web at peterbcollins.com. I invite you to drop in there, and you can catch up on some of our recent programs. The podcasts are all right there for you. In a moment, we're going to talk about radio and shock jocks and hate right-wing radio in America with Rory O'Connor, the author of Shock Jocks. Later this hour, Jeremy Scahill, who wrote a powerful book about Blackwater, the rise of the world's most powerful mercenary army, will join us. He's penned a piece about Obama's hawks, and he's made a pledge. He was a sharp critic of the Bush administration, as many of us know. And Scahill has said that he's going to do the same for Barack Obama. And I think that's something we should all take the pledge on. I voted for Barack Obama, but as you get to know me, particularly our new East Coast listeners, you'll find that I'm an honest critic of any politician in America, regardless of their political orientation, what party they belong to, or who they displaced. And we have a lot of work to do on my progressive agenda with a new Democratic majority in the House, a hopefully larger Democratic presence in the Senate. We're still working on that with the special election in Georgia today. and also the unknowns of the Minnesota race. We're going to talk about Minnesota later on in the program with Jason Leopold. Al Franken has closed the gap to just 50 votes behind Norm Coleman. Total of about 3 million votes cast in that race. Also on the program today, next hour, Dan Weiss will join us from the Center for American Progress, talk about the automakers, some of whom drove a hybrid to Washington to ask for a bailout. Well, somebody got the PR a little bit more in tune this time. And also on the program today, Melanie Sloan from Crew will report to us that Sarah Palin is not the only candidate who used campaign contributions to augment her wardrobe. We'll talk about that with Melanie coming up a little bit later in the program. Whenever you like, you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I have a special offer for callers from Boston this week. We want to welcome you to our program and invite you to participate. And if you call the program and get on the air, we will reward you with a DVD of the documentary Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies about the stolen 2000 presidential election and the scene of the crime there in Florida. And if you're listening in Boston, all you got to do is call in, get on the air, and we'll reward you until we run out. I got about 20 or 25 of them to give away this week. And again, my toll-free number is 888-573-8372. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Rory O'Connor is a longtime media activist who worked in the business, too. He's the co-author of a new book called Shock Jocks, Hate Speech and Talk Radio, America's 10 Worst Hate Talkers and the Progressive Alternatives. Rory, welcome to our show today.
Peter, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, and it's good to talk with you, and you're actually in Boston now.
Well, I'm actually in Cambridge right now in Harvard Square, sitting in the my office here at the Kennedy School of Government.
Mm-hmm. And are you on loan from Media Channel? What's the arrangement there?
Yes, I'm just temporarily on loan. I'm actually doing a fellowship right now at the Shorenstein Center here, and I'm looking into the changes in the media and a lot of emphasis on the new social media like Twitter and Facebook and so on, trying to help interpret that to the old media, if you will.
Do you Twitter?
I do Twitter, but I'm much more interested in Twitter, not on the microblogging level, but on the macro level. In other words, I was following the events recently in Mumbai by looking at the Twitter feed, and of course that was, as you probably know, way ahead of the traditional media in the early stages of that disastrous event.
Mm-hmm. I have never been to the site and don't know how it operates, but one of these days, based on what you just said, it did appear to be a very interesting resource for real-time citizen journalism, reports from average people coming in from that grisly scene in Mumbai.
Well, I recently spoke with Biz Stone, who's one of the co-founders of Twitter, actually before the Mumbai event. But he was telling me, which is pretty common, I guess, in technology, that a lot of the new applications that people are putting the service to are things that they never anticipated. And they certainly never anticipated that it would become a breaking news service and would actually be leading the Associated Press in breaking news. But that's how it's working out. So it's extremely interesting what's happening with what they call the social media, or this new emerging media, and integrating that with the old media in a way that works to deliver credible and trustworthy and timely news and information that people can use is ultimately what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Rory O'Connor here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Rory, let's talk about old media here, because your book about shock jocks is something that strikes me as very important. I work in an industry where we're outnumbered by conservatives and right-wing hate talkers on a ratio of 9-1, and we're working to shift that balance. But I want to begin with a brief apology to some of my podcast listeners. We have listeners scattered all over the country who log on and capture our podcasts on a regular basis. And yesterday, a mistake was made. And in the third hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, instead, they got a solid hour of the Savage Nation.
Oh, and no.
I would like to issue a formal apology right now.
I think you should consider hiring
Well, I can explain what happened. Our podcasts are hosted by our San Francisco affiliate, Green 960, and they're part of the Clear Channel family, and in the next booth is where Michael Savage's show beams out on a separate station every day. And somehow the files got mixed up, And there's somebody really red-faced and green-faced at the same time.
Well, you know, it does happen. I guess the only solace that we can take is that if they did, in fact, literally mix them up, then people who are going to get Michael Savage podcasts are going to have the good fortune of actually hearing Peter B.
Well, I've investigated that. I asked the corporate tools over there to let me know if that did happen. And so far, I have not gotten any welcoming or even angry emails from Savage fans. But I've gotten a whole stack of emails from PBC fans who were not expecting Michael Savage in their earbuds. So, Rory, tell me, from your survey of the landscape, how is right-wing talk radio adjusting to the Obama presidency?
Well, you know, pretty much exactly as I thought and as I had predicted they would. You know, even before Obama was elected, let's not forget that a lot of people on the progressive side of the political aisle were puzzled as to why people like Limbaugh and Hannity and their ilk were criticizing John McCain when he was the candidate as being way too liberal. And they thought this was just inexplicable. But if you actually think about it, it made a lot of sense. You know, Rush was basically preparing to lead his flock back out into the wilderness from whence they came 20 years ago. So, you know, the shock jocks have a lot invested in feeling like they are giving voice to the voiceless and the people who are victimized and who are ignored by the mainstream media, what they call the drive-by media. And so they're repositioning themselves and going back to their roots.
And so do they thrive under this environment because there's more attacking they can do, there's more name-calling they can do, and they're not really accountable for anything because there won't be any Republican initiatives, there won't be any real Republican or conservative kinds of legislation planned. And so they really are, relieved to be sitting there in the gallery just taking, you know, pot shots with their pea shooters.
Well, I think you're right that they do thrive in opposition. That's what drives them and incidentally what drives their ratings. And, you know, the irony is that these people who did start out in the opposition, and I think to some extent legitimately, you know, giving voice to people who felt like they were shut out by the mainstream media, who among us does not, actually. So I think, yes, you're absolutely right. And if you listen to them, which I do on a regular basis, I think you're going to find that they have been, even before the election was over, but certainly since the election's been over, but before he takes office, they are hammering Obama, you know, hour after hour on the airwaves. They have already rebranded this the Obama recession, even though the man has yet to take office.
Well, and there's a scurrilous plan to try to use allegations about his birth, that he wasn't actually born in Hawaii, for an end run to deny him the presidency at the Electoral College. There are right-wingers who are suggesting that Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State because she had something on Barack Obama. I mean, it's really interesting to see how they operate in this new environment.
Yeah, I mean, there are even people warning that everybody should watch their back because as Secretary of State, Hillary, of course, is fourth in line to succeed to the presidency. So, if something were to happen to Obama and the Vice President and Mr. Byrd and the Speaker of the House, then Hillary would become president. But this is just, of course, wacky, insane rumor mongering. And I think to some extent, they also regard it as good-natured fun. But what is not fun is the drumbeat of incessant attacks already upon Obama. And look, let's face it, we live in an ADD media culture. You're up one day and the next day you're down. I don't think that Obama is going to have even the first 100 days that FDR famously had during the time of the Great Depression to try to reverse things. I think there will be a honeymoon, yes, but perhaps the honeymoon may be over before he gets inaugurated. It'll certainly be over within the first month unless Obama does move very swiftly and does seem to be having some positive impact on the economy.
Well, I think 100 minutes is more like it in today's Fox News-driven world. And, I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm a skeptic about this cabinet of rivals and the idea of having Republicans in high-level positions. I hope that the other Republicans in town will return the love that Obama is extending. But based on my history, I don't expect it. And I will be happy to eat my words if Obama proves to be right. We'll take a break and return. Rory O'Connor. O'Connor with us from Boston. He's at the Kennedy School there at Harvard, and he is the author of Shock Jocks. We'll continue in a moment. We got a caller from Boston. I'm excited about that. We'll talk to Meg in just a moment. And you can call in, too, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya. Quite
continental. Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, both the Washington Times and the Pittsburgh Tribune Review published op-eds by the Heritage Foundation containing the false claim that union auto workers make an average $75 an hour in wages and benefits. However, as Media Matters has pointed out, the often repeated $70-plus dollar figure is wildly exaggerated. That number reflects all costs of labor, including retirees' pensions and health care costs, divided by the total number of hours worked, not merely the average hourly wage. According to the United Auto Workers, the average hourly wage is closer to $28 per hour. But the most ridiculous comment of the day goes to Michael Savage discussing the terrorist attacks in India.
The only way to defend ourselves against these fanatic Islamists is with a strong and swift attack on the tribal regions of western Pakistan. There's no question that entire region needs to be annihilated and stripped off the earth.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston on AM 1510. We're talking radio with Rory O'Connor, the co-author of Shock Jocks. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. And over the long holiday weekend, we lost one of the inventors of radio's top 40 format called Boss Radio. Remember this?
KHJ Los Angeles.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Yeah, I remember that. And in Boston, WRKO had the Boss Radio format. It was cloned all across the country, and Bill Drake was the man responsible for it. He passed away at the age of 71 over the Thanksgiving holidays. And his Boss Radio format was once slaughtered in parody by George Carlin, who said, "Hi, gang, Scott Lame here, the boss jock with the boss sound from the boss list of the boss 30 that my boss told me to play." Rory, what are your memories of Big Boss Radio and Top 40 back in the 60s and 70s?
Well, you know, my memories are that they cut the commercial time by one-third, so I certainly hailed that. But they also homogenized and dumbed down radio in a way, frankly, that, you know, as per our topic today, the talk radio people followed in short order. So it became highly centralized and very homogenized.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And you could turn on a Boss Radio station almost anywhere. Some of the songs would be a little different, but for the most part, it was nationalized, and that's the way music radio is. It's one of the reasons why the ratings have dropped for most music formats across the country. Meg,
that's exactly the way it is with talk radio now. I mean, you go to some cities, and that's literally all you can get on the AM dial.
Right. Meg joins us from Boston, listening on our new affiliate, AM 1510. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, Peter B. Hi. Thanks so much for putting me on, and it's great to have you in Boston. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, and you are our first official caller, and we're going to reward you with a DVD of Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. And now you have to turn around and pay us back, Meg, because I want you to email or call 10 friends tonight and invite them to tune in to this new progressive talk show that's on in Boston.
I will do that for you.
Okay.
I will do that. And I love your show, and thank you so much. And I'm just curious about the shock jocks.
Uh-huh.
Why can't the left get somebody that is making money, millions of dollars, like Rush Limbaugh? Why do you have to lie and carry on like Rush does to make all that money?
Well, that's an interesting question. Rory, you want to take a stab at that?
Well, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, one of the problems is that there simply isn't a level distribution playing field in talk radio. More than 90% of all the programming nationally skews to the right. And, you know, incidentally, I am here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I just want to mention that I'm constantly amazed at the people that I meet here in Cambridge and even at Harvard University who say, "Oh, those shock jocks are terrible." It's true. Of course, you know, we don't have them here in Cambridge. They're completely unaware of things like Michael Savage being on WRKO on a daily basis, or you know, Jay Severin and Michael Graham and people like that on WTTK. So even here in the hub of the universe, in the great liberal bastion, if you will, of Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts, you find that there's actually a lot more conservative, right-wing, shock jock talk radio available than there is on the progressive side.
Meg, what's your experience? Do you find anything other than conservatives on your radio dial besides the new 1510 programs?
I was going to say, not until now. It's all dominated by right-wing. You know, it's Limbaugh, Hannity, you know, all O'Reilly, they're all on.
Yeah. Now, what about the homegrown conservative, Howie Ka? I know who he is. I've heard him a few times, and he appears to be pretty successful at the right-wing shock talk thing.
I think he's very successful. And unfortunately, you know, he's just like the rest of them, though. You know, he just doesn't, you know, I think they just don't let truth get in the way of whatever they're broadcasting.
Yeah, good point. Well, Meg, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. We're going to put you on hold. Nick will get your address, and we'll mail out a DVD to you later this week, okay?
Thank you very much, and welcome.
Okay, thank you. It's great to hear from you. And, Rory, what about that truthiness thing? Now, there isn't anybody who monitors me and smacks me back if I misstate a fact or twist something. But do we need some sort of a truth squad? Do you think Media Matters does a good job at that?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we do have one. I think that Media Matters does a good job of that, of making it not only providing analysis, but much more importantly, just providing direct links so that if anybody actually wants to hear in their own words what these people are saying, Media Matters facilitates that and makes that very easy. And I think that, you know, that really is the antidote, because as I said, I'm continually shocked, despite the fact that I blogged about this fact that I wrote a book, despite the fact that you and I have spoken about it on numerous occasions, there still is a sort of a surprising lack of knowledge, really, about the depth of the problem and about exactly...
Rory, we'll take a break and return. Rory O'Connor, the author of Shock Jocks, here on The Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. 163 years of financial strength helps ensure your loved ones will always be taken care of. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. I'm Charles Osgood. We do have recessions from time to time, and this is one of them, we can now say without fear of contradiction. The government is doing what it can to stimulate the economy, to bring it back to life, to try to minimize the length and the depth of this recession, says Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke.
Ultimately, however, market participants themselves must address the fundamental sources of financial strains by raising new capital, restructuring balance sheets, and improving risk management.
And who are market participants? That is everybody, folks, including you and me. One of our previous recessions, I had a boss who insisted there may be a recession, but we're not going to participate. Well, it is not entirely up to us. Well, we all have a role to play, as you'll see in a moment.
Hey, honey, notice anything different about me?
Yeah, I do. There's some guy on the back of your bike. And is that a megaphone?
She's the hottest biker on two wheels, brains, beauty, and the need for speed.
I saved so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I bought a hype man.
She has got it all. What?
I don't know. What?
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
That's right.
Call today or visit Geico.com to see how much you could save.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett.
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
Look, the economy is a machine. The government is pouring in stimulant and lubricant. But that machine is stuck right now because lenders aren't lending, investors aren't investing, consumers aren't consuming. Everyone is waiting for somebody else to get the ball rolling again. Actually, this is a time of opportunity for lenders.
Even though delinquency numbers going forward do look to be significantly worse than they have been historically, this is still a good opportunity for lending if you can identify those low-risk consumers. Now is the time to gain market share.
And for investors, some people are going to seize this opportunity to get rich buying stocks in great companies at unbelievable bargain prices. Yes, they'll be paying for consumers.
There are a lot of consumers that are going to be feeling a lot of pain through 2009.
And businesses have to do something besides just hunkering down. Now's the time for smart marketing and advertising. My father used to say, nothing happens until somebody sells something. Don't just sit there, sell something. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue our chat about Shock Jocks and Talk Radio with Rory O'Connor here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us for another segment, so if you have a comment, call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Rory O'Connor is co-author with Aaron Cutler of the new book Shock Jocks, Hate Speech and Talk Radio, America's 10 Worst Hate Talkers and the Progressive Alternatives. And Rory, I really believe that the most egregious conservative offender in this country is Michael Savage. And just for those who didn't get the accidental podcast yesterday or who don't patronize stations that play his program, I have a quick clip of his compassionate and nuanced response to the attacks in Mumbai, India last week. And let's see if we can get
this
clip.
A landmark hotel, the Taj Hotel, on fire. Screams can be heard in the background. Enormous clouds of black smoke are rising from the century-old edifice on Mumbai's waterfront. The fact of the matter is, India is at war, only you don't know it. And the question to you is, what should the U.S. government do right now? Should the U.S. military be deployed? Should the tribal areas of Pakistan be wiped out and the rats killed in there once and for all? Should we nuke the tribal areas in Pakistan's wildman region and wipe out the terrorists once and for all? Is this a result of Bush's weakness? Is this a result of Bush's catering to Islamic fanatics? Is this a result of the FBI saying you cannot use the word Islamic in relationship to terrorism? Is this a result of Obama's weakness? Is this a result of the financial meltdown? Is this connected in some way to the threat against
the U.S.? That's 20 questions, and that's my limit. Now, just his tactic here, Rory, is to drop these bombs, these rhetorical bombs, in the form of questions. And so does he think that they are less offensive and less outlandish because they're posed as questions instead of in the declarative?
Well, you know, knowing Michael Savage from listening as I do, I don't think he is at all concerned with that. And, you know, he doesn't confine himself ordinarily just to asking questions. I mean, when he was denouncing children with autism as putzes and morons and saying they should be slapped around, he wasn't doing it in the form of questions. So, no, I don't think that that Michael Savage is asking questions because he's trying to be demure.
I don't think he does demure.
A little something what we were talking about earlier, because
sure.
Today, you know, one of the great things about he being here at the Kennedy School is a lot of people pass through, and today I had the opportunity to have a brown bag lunch, as it's called, with Jonathan Alter, who's of course a columnist for Newsweek and a correspondent for MSNBC News, and I didn't ask the question, but the first question was asked to him was about the incessant pounding that the shock jocks are giving to Obama, which we talked about earlier, and Jonathan said something which I think a lot of people in the traditional and the legacy media actually believe. He said, look, it's a whole new world now. The new media is what matters. Obama's the internet president, and I'm quoting now, talk radio is so 1990s. Mm. So he essentially dismissed all of this. Now, you know, I think instead he was writing off, you know, tens of millions of Americans who listen every week. And not to mention, you know, the corporation that just gave Rush Limbaugh an 8-year contract extension to the tune of $400 million. So I think there is a tendency on the part of, you know, people in the traditional media in fairly high positions, such as Jonathan, to dismiss this as somehow unimportant and not really having an impact and being outmoded, and I just don't find that to be the case.
I agree with you, and you know, I'll just offer the evidence from Limbaugh's Operation Chaos earlier this year. He did persuade some number of voters in Texas and Ohio to vote for Hillary Clinton, cross over party lines in the Democratic primary as a mischief-making effort, and while I can't pinpoint every vote that followed their Pied Piper, it's pretty clear to me that some of them did.
Well, look, it wasn't in the 1990s. went up against President Bush and the leaders of both parties in both the House and the Senate to kill bipartisan immigration reform. It was 2006. It wasn't that long ago, and they're still very powerful.
Now, Rory, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to have a new chairman of the FCC, perhaps a chairwoman, but it'll be somebody that Obama picks. It could be one of the Democratic incumbents, Kopp or Adelstein, or a new face. But there's a lot of fear and trembling in the ranks of right-wing talk that there will be new regulations, perhaps something like the Fairness Doctrine, coming out of an Obama FCC. And it's interesting to note, just on the business level, that Phil Boyce, who was the longtime programmer of WABC in New York, has left that post, and he's joining the syndicator that carries Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham and others. And they have said, now they haven't contacted me, but they have said that they are interested in developing some non-conservative talk product. Do you think the industry will try to, preempt any kind of regulatory action by taking moves to diversify the viewpoints that they present on radio?
Well, I think that they are going to move to greater diversity, but I don't think it's going to be in an attempt to preempt regulation, and I certainly don't think, in fact, no one who's really knowledgeable about the subject thinks that the Fairness Doctrine is coming back to hush rush, as the right wing puts it. I think that what they are seeing is that the world has changed. We just had an election where obviously a majority of the people rejected the right and moved in a slightly more progressive direction. So I think this is a commercial response to a new reality. And after all, that is where we should be battling this out, in the marketplace of commerce and in the marketplace of ideas. So Obama has been consistently on the record as saying, no, we're not bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. But he has also said that we need greater diversity. And I do think you're going to see the Democratic administration pushing for greater localism. Because as we said at the top of the program, the big problem here is the centralization, the conglomeratization, and the homogenization. So that Rush Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity are going out literally with the same program to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stations. If we have more local ownership, more local programming, I think that'll go a long way to getting more voices and more choices on the airwaves.
Well, and I'll just add one other ization to your list there, and that's ghettoization, because unfortunately we now have all conservative and all liberal stations, but very few mix it up. And going back to the 90s, one of my greatest memories and greatest challenges was being on KNBR in San Francisco, where I followed Rush Limbaugh every day with my liberal ravings. And it was really fun for me, and it gave me an opportunity to persuade some ditto heads. Today, I generally talk to people who already agree with me.
I think it's fun for the audience as well. And I got to tell you, I like nothing better than to go on when I'm allowed on, which is all too infrequently, some of these right-wing talk shows and mix it up. I've been on the Michael Graham show here in Boston on WTTK-FM a number of times. And it's great radio. It's a lot of fun. And I always call for listeners to call in. And, to his surprise, quite often, they agree more with me than they do with him. But I think what you find largely is that divergent opinions and callers who don't agree with the host are basically either shut out or shut up on conservative radio.
Here's Ben and Salinas. Hey, Ben, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rory O'Connor.
Yes, Peter, this is the great Ben of Salinas, California, saying hi to our new friends in Boston. Here's what I wish to say. Obama is in the power. He's going to be able to propose and do a lot of good things. However, this is the stumbling block. Nancy Pelosi, who is acting like the guard dog for the present people in power, financial and governmental and law and order stuff, such as reclassifying marijuana as a Class C drug to stop treating it dangerous, put it one step beneath alcohol and tobacco, she and the jellybone-backed Democrats are not going to support Obama, and without the empowerment of the funding to do the things he wants to do, nothing will get done. Now, do you think I'm wrong?
I do. I think that Obama will get strong support from Pelosi and Reid, And I think that his real problems will be the Republicans who don't buy into his post-partisanship.
But he's got to stop legitimizing some of the... Bush has to be recognized as the illegal occupant of the White House that he's been. He is not a legal president. The Patriot Act needs to be undone. The Homeland Gestapo needs to be undone. And the FISA Act needs to be undone and reclaim our constitutional rights. And he has to stop legitimizing the war. Even in Afghanistan, he's legitimizing Obama, who has not even been indicted and tried.
Let me suggest, Ben, that you stay tuned, because in the next segment, you're going to hear some critical commentary of Obama's foreign policy picks from Jeremy Scahill.
Okay.
And I think you'll find that interesting.
So, okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call today. Rory O'Connor, thank you for the work you do. And just to complete the thread, it turns out that the podcast mix-up only exposed Peter B. Collins listeners to Michael Savage. Not the other way around.
Well, we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, we will. Thank you, Rory.
Hey, congratulations. Welcome to Boston.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Rory O'Connor and his book, of course, Shock Jocks, Hate Speech and Talk Radio. It's at your local independent bookstore, and you can get it online, too. We'll take a break and return with Jeremy Scahill, the author of the book about Blackwater, a sharp critic of the Clinton and Bush administrations. He promises to do the same for President-elect Obama. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show, where you get views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening, and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Source for Progressive Voices now in Boston on AM 1510. Catch the Jeff Santos Morning Show 6 to 9 a.m. and Ride Home with Me 6 to 9 p.m. now in Boston on AM 1510. Jeremy Scahill is a well-known journalist and a critic of the Clinton and Bush administrations. He's promising to do the same for the incoming Obama administration. You know his work from Democracy Now!, The Nation magazine, and he's the author of the definitive book on mercenaries in the recent past, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy, good to talk with you again.
Peter B. Collins, it's been too long.
Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
I want to get to the piece you wrote about the hawks that have been appointed to the Obama foreign policy team. But first, I wanted to ask if, because you follow the Blackwater and military contractors issues so closely, has President-elect Obama ever said that he would make sharp changes in the use of military contractors when he takes office?
Well, sharp changes is an interesting phrase. Look, here's the story about Barack Obama and mercenaries. Obama, on the one hand, has actually been somewhat of a leader on this issue in the Senate. He was the Democrat who first introduced legislation that seeks to bring oversight and regulation to this industry. Having said that, though, I interviewed top Obama foreign policy advisors who told me that not only will Senator Obama refuse to rule out using these forces himself, but he will not support legislation to actually ban them in U.S. war zones, and has since told military publications that he doesn't want to be portrayed as anti-contractor and that he definitely sees a central role for these private forces in U.S. war zones for the foreseeable future. So I guess the answer to your question is no. He's going to go down the path of trying to regulate them and develop some structure of legal accountability, but very much will continue to use them in U.S. war zones, unfortunately, including in Iraq.
Does he use the argument that there's simply no choice, we don't have enough uniformed military service members?
That is a part of his argument. I also think that that Barack Obama has articulated a position that indicates that he believes that, to some degree, using these private forces breeds competition, and you're going to get a better product. Although I think if there's one lesson to be drawn from the Bush administration's relationship to these companies, it's that the definition of competition is no-bid contracts for politically connected companies. I think it's a very dangerous road to walk down. Now, I'll tell you something that I know you haven't heard anywhere else, and I'm thinking of writing something on this, but one interesting part of Hillary Clinton being named as Secretary of State is that after I did an article on Barack Obama in February saying that he would not rule out using Blackwater and other companies and won't support Bernie Sanders legislation to ban them, Hillary Clinton's campaign issued a statement the next day saying Hillary Clinton will ban Blackwater if elected president. Mm. Now, what's interesting is that it ultimately is a decision that will be on Obama's desk, but Hillary Clinton at State Department would technically be in charge of Blackwater's operations. So it'll be very interesting to see if Hillary Clinton follows through on her promise and makes this a big issue at the State Department.
And will Secretary of State Clinton, if she is confirmed, travel to war zones where Blackwater is contracted to the State Department to provide security for delegations like hers?
Well, as a senator, Barack Obama, when he traveled on the campaign trail to Afghanistan and Iraq, had a protective detail that in part included Blackwater, and there was one report that indicated that he told the Blackwater guys there that they had gotten, quote, a bad rap. But that would be the standard operating procedure when a Secretary of State or any member of Congress goes over to Iraq or Afghanistan. They would be in part protected by Blackwater or two other companies, Triple Canopy and DynCorp.
We're talking with Jeremy Scahill. Now, one more item just about the contractors. Your comment on Barry McCaffrey and the expose in Sunday's New York Times about his detailed involvement with DynCorp Veritas, which bought it, and the fact that he has appeared in the media thousands of times and never disclosed his relationships to these war profiteers.
Barry McCaffrey is a living, breathing case study for everything that is wrong with the military-industrial complex. I think it's shameful that this story hasn't become a much bigger deal in the U.S. press. I mean, here you have a guy who is one of the most prominent people in the U.S. military community. He was Clinton's drug czar, and he has served as one of the top pundits on cable news networks and other media outlets, at times just gushing over the war, and at other times being critical of it. And then when the Bush administration comes down on him for being critical of the war, he backs off and starts praising them again.
Yeah.
Barry McCaffrey we understand from that article that appeared in the New York Times, was working for, on behalf of Veritas Capital, as well as the mercenary company DynCorp, and giving commentary and urging the Pentagon to purchase armored vehicles and other goods and services from companies that he was being paid to represent, but not disclosing many times that he actually worked for these corporate interests that stood to benefit off of his analysis and his pushing behind closed doors and in public fora.
Now, let me just interrupt you, because you used a qualifier there. I've never heard him disclose any of these interests in any forum.
One of the things that I think was revealed in that Times piece was that he has at times indicated that he didn't want to give the appearance of impropriety, and that he privately indicated this to the companies when he would go over to represent what he said was Barry McCaffrey's interest. No, in the media, never. In public, never. Only by the account in the New York Times, occasionally when he wanted to create a paper trail to protect himself, is what it appears like.
Jeremy Scahill with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He penned a piece called Kettle of Hawks. I found it at truthout.org today. And you make a number of important points. One is you cite Max Boot and how thrilled he is with the Obama team that's been assembled. Quote, "I am gobsmacked by these appointments, most of which could just as easily have come from a President McCain." And in the op-ed page of the Times today, David Brooks saying, "Well, this is continuity we can believe in."
Right.
Now, with fans like this...
Right. Ouch. Where are the critics? You know, what's funny, Peter? I mean, I've been on your show a number of times, and the thing is, I have never gotten so much hate mail as I have received over the past week since I've really started to write extensively about the histories of these people that Obama has tapped to run U.S. foreign policy with him in the White House. And the fact of the matter is that Karl Rove has called his appointments, quote, reassuring. Joe Lieberman said that they're virtually perfect. You have Senate Republicans.
Stop, you're hurting me.
I did a piece that was on Huffington Post and Alternate where I took sort of the top 10 most glowing praise comments that have been issued by neocons, Republicans, and then wannabe Republicans like Joe Lieberman. We can laugh about this and say, oh, my God, that's terrible. But here's the point, and this is the point that I've been making. Obama has assembled a team of people. Not a single one of them was a vocal opponent of the war. In fact, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Gates, and Jones, all are people that have supported this war.
Rahm Emanuel, don't leave him out.
Rahm Emanuel, you can go down the list when you start going, you know, then outside of the core foreign policy team. But Hillary Clinton and Biden were promoting the myth that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Hillary Clinton was one of the only Democrats to bring up an alleged connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq. You know, we were told repeatedly by Obama on the campaign trail that the definitive foreign policy issue of our generation was Iraq, and that George Bush and John McCain were wrong. Why, then, does he fill his foreign policy team with people that were wrong on the premier foreign policy issue of our time, instead of looking toward the 130 members of the House of Representatives who voted against the war, mm-hmm. or the 23 senators, or the military and intelligence people who spoke out against it? Why is there not a single solid anti-war voice that has emerged in a senior position in the Obama cabinet appointments? It's very, very disturbing.
Yeah. And to me, the most egregious is the holdover of Gates, because I believe that that's continuity we don't need, and that while they say that Obama will force resignations from the second level at Pentagon, there's still a lot of Rumsfeld people burrowed in there, and as long as Gates is there, they will remain.
Well, look, and let's remain, you know, Robert Perry has done some fantastic reporting on Consortium News about this, the AP reporter who was a big part of breaking the Iran-Contra scandal in the 1980s. You know, Perry has really talked about not only Gates' time as defense secretary, and Gates has, you know, has spoken passionately against any kind of a timetable for withdrawal, but also his role at the CIA during the so-called Cold War, where he was alleged to have been a part of serious tainting of intelligence that laid the groundwork for what we saw in the build-up to the Iraq War.
Also, I mean, the October surprise, he was knee-deep with William Casey, who was the campaign chair for Reagan, who became the CIA director, and Mel Goodman and Ray McGovern have both detailed those issues as well from their history with Gates back at the agency.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, General Jim Jones, you know, not a lot has been written about him, but let's remember This is a guy who now claims he was against the Iraq war. Why didn't he speak out against it publicly? He claims he was waging war against the neocons in the Pentagon. Why did he never blow the whistle on any of the craziness that he saw there?
He said he almost resigned.
Right. He that's like, you know, grenades and horseshoes. But the other part of Jones that I think needs to be brought out is this is a guy who is on the board of Chevron, Oil Corporation, as well as Boeing, the major war contracting company. And he's a guy who is deeply embedded in the military-industrial complex.
Jeremy, I got to stop there. Thank you very much for your work. We'll talk again.
Thanks a lot, Peter B. Collins.
Pick up the book, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. There goes Jeremy Scahill. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The automakers make their bailout requests, and General Motors is first in line.
GM, which has said it will run out of cash by the end of the year, says it'll ask for $4 billion right away and $12 billion in loans by March.
Bipartisan panel warns nuclear or biological attack likely within 5 years.
There is a greater sense of urgency to do more on this.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A top executive at GM says there isn't a plan B. Unless the company gets $12 billion in government backing, it will fail, and that could trigger a total collapse of the domestic auto industry. To justify help from Washington, Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ says the company proposes a massive restructuring.
GM will have fewer brands, fewer dealers, and fewer workers. They'll concentrate on four core brands, Chevy, Buick, Cadillac, and GMC, making Pontiac a niche brand and phasing out or selling Saab, Saturn, and Hummer. GM says it should be able to start repaying loans in 2011 and have everything paid off by 2012.
Chrysler wants $7 billion by the end of the year. Ford, in the best shape of the three, is asking for a $9 billion line of credit but says it might not need the money and expects to turn a profit in 3 years. Industry leaders will drive hybrid vehicles to Washington to make their case to Congress on Thursday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is receptive.
What we are working for is to have an auto industry in our country that is viable, that is forward-looking, and that is worthy of the support that the taxpayers will invest in it.
The car business was dismal in November, with domestic and foreign automakers suffering double-digit declines from the same period last year.
Nobody has any cash. That's one of the problems, and that's why all brands are suffering, not just the American ones.
Keith Crane of Automotive News. Chrysler's sales dropped 47%, GM's 41%, and Ford's 31%. Among Japanese makes, Honda fared the best with a 32% sales decline. Now this.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
When it comes to holiday recipes, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Amy's Google page with Yahoo and filled her kitchen with live turkeys.
Oh my!
Wait till you see how Yahoo Search can help with recipes.
Did that turkey just type pumpkin pie?
Yep, which instantly gives us this drop-down menu.
Suggesting a ton of recipes and cooking ideas. Helpful.
Cool. Now, how about dinner?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
In the aftermath of the carnage in Mumbai comes a warning that terrorists are planning something much worse in this country. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
In stark language, a congressionally ordered study predicts within 5 years terrorists will stage a major biological or nuclear attack. The risks are evolving faster than the response, a bipartisan commission warns. Panel member Tim Romer, a former Indiana congressman, calls for a renewed sense of urgency.
We've recommended that the intelligence community do more to improve their level of expertise in science and technology and human intelligence so that we can pick these threats up.
The danger hit home as panel members traveled to Pakistan in September. The hotel they were going to stay in was blown up a few hours before they arrived. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A better day on Wall Street. The Dow was up 270 points at the close, a partial recovery from yesterday's big losses. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says this pattern might continue for a while.
We haven't seen volatility like this since just before the Great Depression, and we're expecting it to last for a few good months more. We may not bottom out in this market for the next 3 to 6 months because the recovery for the economy has now been pushed back to perhaps middle to late 2009.
The Nasdaq picked up 51 points. President-elect Obama met in Philadelphia today with many of the nation's governors. He promised swift action on the economic crisis when he takes office.
As president, I'm not simply asking the nation's governors to help implement our economic plan. I'm going to be interested in you helping to draft and shape that economic plan.
The governors want a new stimulus package to include money for infrastructure projects like roads and bridges. Tomorrow, Mr. Obama makes another personnel announcement. CBS News has confirmed that he'll nominate New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, another former rival for the presidential nomination, to be Secretary of Commerce. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has 5 times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett.
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
If you've ever struggled with a sick kid while trying to get his temperature, you'll love the new temporal scanner by Exergen. It works like magic. Just press a button, gently scan your child's forehead, and get an accurate reading, just like that. It's safe, quick, effective, and used by doctors and premier hospitals. Imagine, no more sticking thermometers in ears or rears. You can even use it while your child is sleeping. The temporal scanner from Exergen, a better thermometer for your family, and the best money you'll ever spend. Available at the pharmacy, at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, now available live in Boston on AM 1510. Welcome. Later this hour, Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter, updates us on the Minnesota Senate race. Al Franken's closing the gap. And this half hour, we're going to talk about the prospect of a bailout or bridge loans for the automakers in Detroit. Some lessons have been learned. The big three auto executives did not use their corporate jets to hie themselves to Washington to ask for a bailout. And Rick Wagner didn't take my advice to tell him that Prince drove me here in a red Corvette. The word is he drove a hybrid all the way from Detroit to Washington, D.C., and with gas below $2 a gallon, well, he saved us all. quite a bit, and we won't have to at least hear that part of the PR failure over the next week or so. Daniel J. Weiss joins me now. He's a senior fellow and director of climate strategy at Washington's progressive think tank, the Center for American Progress. Dan, welcome back to our show. Hello, Dan, are you there? Oh, looks like we lost Dan there, so Nick, if you can dial him back, something happened in the telephone circuits. And while we're doing that, I'll mention that in addition to being the director of climate strategy there at the center, he spent 25 years working with environmental groups. He was at the Sierra Club for many years, and also he ran political efforts, campaigns, and protest mobilizations for various environmental groups, and he came out of the University of Michigan. I think we've got him back on the line here, so we'll get Dan Weiss here and get his thoughts on the prospect of Washington bailing out Detroit here in this very short lame duck session that's underway. Dan, do we have you?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
Sorry we lost you there. And I was just, I don't know how much of the intro you heard, but I was riffing on the fact that the big three executives flew in on their corporate jets last time. It was a huge PR blunder. And we understand that Rick Wagner is actually either driving or being driven in a hybrid to Washington for his sales job before Congress this week. Do you think the automakers are chastened, and do you think that the plans that they will present will win support in Congress this week?
Hopefully the automakers are chastened. They basically made a huge PR blunder by all taking their private jets to Washington a couple weeks ago. I think the devil's going to be in the details. Congress is going to have to look at their plans very closely. I've looked at the both the GM and Ford plans, and while they both have very positive starts in the area of fuel economy, they still leave something to be desired. The Ford plan, among other things, advocates blocking California from establishing its own greenhouse gas standards for motor vehicles. And the General Motors plan relies heavily on what's called flexible fuel vehicle cars, which are cars that can go on 85% ethanol. The only problem is the fuel is rarely available in many states, like California only has a couple stations that sell E85.
Right.
So if your fuel economy is based on the availability of a fuel that isn't available in many places, then that's really not going to work.
Well, we need vehicles that you could back up to a McDonald's right there at the drive-up window and get a transfusion of trans fats from the French fry container.
Yes, but that's not what these flexible fuel vehicles are. These are ones that run on either 85% ethanol or gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the problem is you can't buy 85% ethanol in many places around the country outside the Midwest. And so, therefore, you have the cars running on gasoline, not saving any oil.
Yeah. Now, Dan, I'm an opponent of a bailout as it has been presented. My biggest concern really is on two fronts. One is I want to protect the workforce of the auto industry and the parts suppliers that are, you know, part of the larger universe of auto manufacturing in the United States. And secondly, I want to make a clear break with the past and build on this opportunity to develop the green economy that people have been talking about. And this is the moment. It's not next year. It's not after we bridge or buy a little time. I believe we've got to start here and now. And if Detroit presents serious plans that protect the workers' interests and move us toward a green economy, I could certainly, vote for or support bridge loans or some sort of creative financing to help them through what is clearly a downturn that is not entirely of their making.
That's right. And both the Ford and General Motors plan take some steps in the direction you talk about of building the green economy, building significantly more fuel-efficient cars. One of the difficulties, though, is that if we don't assist them, and if they should go into bankruptcy, even if it's sort of an organized bankruptcy where you fix everything in advance, then they go into bankruptcy, it could have a devastating impact on their suppliers. Second, there's an independent survey that was done earlier this year that shows 80% of the public will not buy a car from a bankrupt auto company. They're going to have concerns about getting parts, about the warranties, and about getting service. And even if the government, guaranteed all of those things, people still may not buy the cars. And so one of the challenges for Congress is you don't want to basically reward their past irresponsible behavior. You want to have the reforms that you talked about, protect the workers and their retirees, moving towards building ultra-efficient cars. But you don't want to let them sink, because if they go into bankruptcy, it will drag down the suppliers and could drag down the companies as well.
Daniel Weiss with us from the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or comment about the prospect of a bailout or bridge loan for Detroit, give me a call right now. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, yes, you can call with one of those funky Bluetooth rigs. I've got one, and I hate it, but it's the law in so many places, and we'll accept your call as long as we can comprehend what you're saying. Now, Dan, we talked about the tone deafness and that they're not flying their corporate jets this time. But over the past weekend, as I was watching news about the devastating attacks in India, on CNN, I saw in 1 hour three commercials from General Motors. And you know what they were promoting? A red tag sale on the Hummer. Now, I'm sorry. They know how to control which commercials play when. And given that this is a decision week in Washington for the future of the big three American automakers, couldn't they talk about the Chevy Aveo, the Ford Escape, or, some of the vehicles that at least start to get into the 30-mile-per-gallon range and recognize that one of the fundamentals is we saw huge declines in auto sales, including the Japanese manufacturers, in the month of November. And my feeling is that bankruptcy or no, that a lot of people are hanging back and they're not going to buy a new car until there's one that meets their goals of fuel efficiency and reduced carbon emissions.
I totally agree with you, Peter. And, you know, one of the things that's been talked about has been that General Motors would have to shed some of their brands, and probably the first to go ought to be the Hummer. Ironically, it was California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he's still a movie actor, that first started using Hummers for personal use and basically launched a trend that has been incredibly harmful to our economy and to our increased our oil dependence.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that was a bad choice of advertising. They need to sell a lot more of these fuel-efficient cars, and both General Motors and Ford promised to do so. I think Ford's promises are a bit more solid than GM's because, like I said, GM relies on a lot on flexible fuel vehicles as a way of reducing oil use. But if you can't buy the fuel, then it sort of defeats the purpose.
Right. So, Dan, what else is in these proposals that intrigues you? We've heard the chairman of Ford, Alan Mulally, saying he's willing to work for $1 per year because, well, he made $21 million last year. Now, Ford doesn't really, they're not asking for an immediate bailout. They're saying we might need a line of credit, a cushion, sometime in 2009. They've got about $16 billion in cash on hand, according to some information I read over the weekend. In General Motors' case, they're down around $12 billion, and they're asking for $4 billion immediately and an $8 billion line of credit to get them through 2009. Chrysler, I haven't seen the terms of their proposal. Do you know what they're looking for in terms of money?
I've seen Chrysler's. Ford is asking for up to $9 billion in line of credit, which would include the TARP conditions on, excessive executive compensation. I believe General Motors would forego bonuses and salary increases for their CEOs. I did not notice in the GM proposal whether or not Rick Wagner would work for $1 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Mulally of Ford said he would, as did Nardelli of
Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break here and return. I want to focus on the workers and the role of the United Auto Workers in this whole process. And we'll talk about also this idea of converting to the green economy. And I don't want to see it delayed. I think it's time to make the move. If you have a question or comment, we'll go to the phones in the next segment. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me. That's humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
K KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Good Vibrations will be preempted by sports programming on November 22nd and November 29th. We'll be back on December 6th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
Good Vibrations, tools for transformation.
On AM 540 KRXA.
Holiday season is coming right up. This year, make sure to get the ideal gift for the special children in your life at Thinker Toys. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys has been the most fun place to shop on the Central Coast. With hot new games, books, a huge selection of toys, and a friendly, knowledgeable staff at two beautifully renovated shops. Ensure a great holiday and avoid the last-minute rush by shopping at Thinker Toys today. Open daily. Thinker Toys is in the Del Monte Center and downtown Carmel.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in the Hollister-Gilroy area on Shore Road, just east of Route 25, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene. Otherwise, roads and freeways on the Central Coast are looking pretty clear today, so enjoy your commute. And weather, tonight will be mostly clear. Lows will be in the mid-40s. Wednesday looks really great. It will be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. Sunset is at 4:51 p.m. tonight. Here are some temperatures. Right now, King City is 63 degrees. Monterey is 55 degrees. Salinas and Santa Cruz are both 60 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Rock and roll wisdom from the early 60s, the car days. That's Jan and Dean's Dead Man's Curve. And later there's a line in the song that says, you won't come back from Dead Man's Curve. And I make the case that Detroit has already negotiated that turn and that it has passed Dead Man's Curve and that we should not intervene to prop up failed businesses. We should intervene to protect the workers because I don't think it's their fault. And the UAW has made incredible concessions in the last two bargaining cycles. One was when a contract wasn't even open. And so when we look at this, Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress, I do make the case that we need to look at the workers' interests and not the shareholders' or the executives' interests here.
I would agree with you, Peter, and I think that's why the bridge loan with the conditions of the kind we've been talking about, reforms in executive compensation, protecting existing agreements between workers and retirees, and a commitment to make long-term, super-efficient cars, and a commitment to end their opposition to stronger state and federal fuel economy standards, all are essential elements that will help maintain jobs. One of the big concerns that people have is that if any of these companies go into bankruptcy, it may permanently destroy the brand. And if that happens, the company might as well just roll up its factories and go home, and it will bring down a lot of suppliers.
I think
jobs in America is related to the auto industry.
I think these brands are pretty seriously damaged already, Dan.
I would agree, but there's hope. You know, look at the General Motors company is investing a lot of money, $750 million, in developing the Chevrolet Volt, which will be a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle that you can drive for 40 miles on a battery before you have to use any gasoline. And then you can recharge at night at your home.
I'll wait. But when are they actually going to put the Volt on the market? And it's priced at $40,000.
It's supposed to be on the market in 2010. And that we need to have tax incentives to encourage people to buy these. In addition, the federal government ought to jump in and pre-order a large number of these cars. So that way it will create a larger market and hopefully reduce the ultimate cost of production.
All right, let's talk to Cindy in Washington State. Good to have you listening, Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Hey, I drive a 1999 Toyota, and I am not buying another car until I can get an electric one, and I want to know where the EV1 and the EV2 are.
They were destroyed by General Motors.
I know, but where are the plans? Why not make them again?
I understand. I'd like to see the, you know, a rush plan to get more electric cars out there like the EV1. And, you know, the Volt is interesting to me as a concept car. Terry Tamminen, who is an environmentalist who was on our program recently, declared that he doesn't think that it will ever go on to the market.
I think they're stalling on us.
I do, too.
You know, it makes me angry. I can't buy a car that I want.
All right.
Dan,
go ahead.
General Motors' proposal for long-term viability is to commit to producing the Volt by 2010 as well as its successor cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, promises are promises, but certainly there'll be great leverage over the company if they get this loan to make sure they live up to their commitment.
Cindy, thank you very much for your call. Now to Chuck in Brookings, Oregon. Chuck, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but go ahead.
Just amazed at what you do. I haven't heard anybody say anything about Daimler-Benz, nor the relationship between Ford and Mazda.
Okay, well, first of all, Daimler unloaded the Chrysler Corporation, and it was based on the O. Henry story, The Ransom of Red Chief, okay? They paid Cerberus Capital almost $8 billion to take the company and its liabilities off their hands. So the Germans tried to change the culture in Detroit, and they gave up.
Well,
you know, it's interesting that you mention Mazda because one of the things in the Ford proposal is examining whether or not they need to reduce or get rid of their shares of Mazda. And by the same token, and also Ford is also looking at doing that with Saab, too. General Motors is also looking at that, too. And so both of these companies, when they get done with this process, assuming that we can keep them afloat, will be much leaner, hopefully meaner, and definitely greener.
All right, Chuck, a quick comment before I got to go?
Yeah, I'm concerned about whether we're with the Mazda situation, are we bailing out a Japanese company? They just, it seems to me that Ford just sold or is negotiating to sell Volvo. I don't understand who we're bailing out.
Well, it gets really complicated because the nameplate on the car, it may be an American company. It doesn't mean it was made here. And vice versa, Toyotas are made in the United States, and so it gets a little convoluted there. I don't have time to sort through it all right now, but I appreciate your call, Chuck. Good to hear from you. And Dan Weiss, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you, Peter. It's an honor to have me.
That's Dan Weiss of the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break and return. Reporter Jason Leopold will update us on that contested race that's in a recount now in Minnesota. Al Franken wants to be their next senator. He needs 50 votes. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now live in Boston.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's time once again to fill in the blanks. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, fill in the blanks, where I test your knowledge of current events by inviting you to fill in the
blanks.
Right. Today's topic, bad news. The National Bureau of Economic Research has made it official. We've been in a recession for a year, to which we all say,
thanks for the hot tip.
The only thing we wonder is,
why didn't you tell us a year ago?
Right. But there's a good reason for that. The reason they didn't tell us a year ago was that telling people there's going to be a recession before the recession actually happens might
cause a recession.
Exactly. What's more important is how long the recession will last. And when asked how long the recession would last, the Bureau made it clear that
they have no idea.
Which is why it's tempting to think that the National Bureau of Economic Research is
a big waste of time.
That telling people we're in a recession a year after it starts is, in its way,
stupid.
A little like having a clock that's
a year slow.
Or getting a boarding call
after the plane's left.
Or putting the diaper on the baby after the baby.
Okay.
It's a reminder of the defining characteristic of all financial reporting that by the time you hear the news, your investments are already in
deep shit.
Right. But they have to keep these statistics
because why?
Well, because that way they can do a better job of predicting the next recession.
Oh, right.
So that when the next recession comes, they can warn us
a year later.
Right. Not bad. You know, you all could be economists, too.
Big whoop.
Try to restrain yourselves. Now this.
You've got spam in your email now.
Ho, ho. Whoa.
The holiday season is here, and with it, the onslaught of email-based spam, viruses, spoofing, phishing, and spyware attacks. Keep your business safe this holiday season by installing a Barracuda Spam Firewall, the world's number one selling anti-spam solution. With no software to install and no per-user fees, it's the simplest, most cost-effective way to stop dreaded holiday spam. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now for your free trial. 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run.
Hi, this is Adam Booth, local running coach and owner of CCR in Santa Cruz. We're always in a giving mood at the store. Bring your old running shoes in for us to recycle, and you'll get 5% off a new pair or a free pair of socks. We've also partnered with Toys for Tots and Finish Line Productions to bring you the first annual holiday toy 5K run and walk on December 14th, the same weekend as our holiday sale. The race starts at the store and travels down the river trail towards the boardwalk. Bring a toy to donate, and your entry is just $20. Enter at Central Coast Running or online at active.com. Help us help others this holiday season.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208. or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, coast to coast, coming to you from San Francisco, now live in Boston on AM 1510. Great to have you listening in New England. Give us a call. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
The rain and the crunch of pain. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is glistening. Engines stuck on it, but I have no fear. Cause London is drowning.
Well, by all accounts, London's okay today, but in Venice, there's 5 feet of water in St. Mark's Square. And the song was written in the mid-'80s. They talk about an ice age. Maybe Mick and Joe were thinking about climate change and just couldn't find the words for it at the time. Well, every week we talk with Jason Leopold. He's a regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show, an investigative reporter who goes back to Dow Jones, the Los Angeles Times, was instrumental in breaking the stories about the shenanigans at Enron at the turn of the century. And he now publishes at the Public Record. And I want to give a little detail on this for our new listeners in Boston who may not be familiar with the Public Record and may not have heard Jason before. He's a terrific reporter who did a great job, for example, on the issues related to the campaign, vice presidential campaign, and the issues that remain unresolved about her power grabs in Alaska. And he's done a lot of great original reporting on other issues as well. And I want to invite you to check out the website, The Public Record, at the URL, pubrecord.org. It's that simple, P-U-B, pubrecord.org. And it's a nonprofit journalism site, so if you're in a position to help them out, I encourage you to do so. Jason, how are you today?
Hey, Peter, good with you, and thanks for that intro, and congratulations on the new affiliate.
That's how we say it in radio.
It's
an affiliate.
That's fantastic.
Well, and it is terrific. We got our first actual caller from a Boston listener earlier today. And, you know, when you do a network radio show like this, getting a call always helps because it says, oh, yeah, the satellite is working.
Right. Right. You know people are listening, and they're getting the message.
Now, you grew up in New York. Did you spend much time in Boston?
I did not.
Yeah.
I think I went to a... In fact, I did see Guns N' Roses there in 1991.
Oh, okay.
I think that may have been the last time I was in Boston.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, and there's no criminal record or any parking tickets or anything like that?
You know what? It was 91, so who knows? It may be.
The statute of limits.
You know that I was a different guy back then.
Well, and there's a book about that. If people want to find out more about Jason, he published a memoir 2 years ago called News Junkie. And it's quite a story. I really enjoyed reading it.
Thanks.
Well, Jason, you've been covering a number of fronts. Let's start off in Minnesota, where the recount continues. There are legal wranglings over absentee ballots. But bottom line, at least as of today, is that in the recount, only 50 votes, and it's a total of almost 3 million that were cast in Minnesota in this Senate race.
Now, this is going to get a little complicated, so... in terms of the methodology that's being used here. Now, it's Franken's campaign that is stating that he's only down by 50 votes. And basically what they're, how they're figuring that out is there's almost 6,000 ballots that have been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, both campaigns, Al Franken, Norm Coleman's campaign, says that voter intent is unclear. Now,
well, and remarkably, the Coleman campaign has asserted that a vote for McCain was intended to be also a vote for Coleman.
Exactly. And, in fact, they have a number of those. I mean, first of all, he has challenged well over 3,000 ballots. Actually, I'm sorry, it's about almost 3,100 ballots.
Okay.
And he does, in fact, say that, you know, any vote for John McCain that also included a vote for Al Franken, it just simply doesn't make sense. In addition, he's also challenged ballots where instead of, you know, a check mark, someone may have put an X.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, there's a number of frivolous challenges. So basically, Coleman's, Al Franken's campaign is saying that when you take all of the ballots that have been challenged into consideration, you know, and the local election officials, where they have people stationed at all the precincts in the county, I mean in the state,
mm-hmm.
You know, it comes break it down. You know, the unofficial state tally right now has Coleman ahead of 305 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was also this issue of missing ballots that turned up today. That they found in one county that Al Franken had carried on election day. And so he gained a net gain of 37 votes over Coleman. And
mm-hmm.
all of these votes, you know, these you know, handful of votes, they're really important because the race is truly going to come down to perhaps just double digits. So... You know, it's very difficult at this point to really get an understanding as to, you know, who is, you know, who's benefiting here. If that 50-vote margin that Al Franken's lead recount attorney, Mark Elias, says is, you know, is accurate, if he's just, you know, sort of figuring in various, you know, issues like unresolved absentee ballots that he says, or that the campaign says, you know, would benefit them,
mm-hmm.
and that's still something that's unresolved. And you know, taken as a whole, it all comes down to they feel that you know, Franken is only trailing by double digits.
Now, Jason, I wish we had a jumbotron on the scoreboard for listeners to look at, but without adding more confusion, I got to resolve a little confusion because I'm looking at your article here, and it says according to the Secretary of State's website in Minnesota on Monday, Franken pulled ahead of Coleman with at the 93% of precincts reporting, they were showing that he was slightly ahead.
Right, and let me try to clear that up. There's 93 precincts reporting.
93%.
93%.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have. How can I try to put this in plain English? Basically, they just some of the counties that are Democratic counties, some of the blue counties in Minnesota, just started their recount this week. So Franken was expected to sort of jump ahead.
I see.
You know, by you know, with some of the counties that are outstanding.
Because they're basing it on the original count from
exactly.
that county where Franken prevailed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that is happening this week. Now, the deadline is Friday, so for this recount to be through. So, you know, there's about 200,000 ballots left. You know, the unofficial tally is, you know, I link to the Secretary of State's website, and that should probably change, you know, as more counties come in, and there's still some red, you know, counties left, if you will, that will probably go into Coleman's favor. But as of yesterday, you know, it showed, okay, you know, here's the Democratic counties that carried. They just started their recount, and there's, you know, as a result, he was in the lead. Like I said, Peter, it's incredibly confusing at this point, and what it all comes down to is that this will likely be a very, you know, an unresolved race, even when it's resolved, when the state canvassing board certifies. So, you know, it's very, it's still very fluid. Things are changing. You know, Franken's campaign said that if they don't have a resolution to the absentee ballots, They claim that there's about 1,000 of them that were wrongly rejected, and should be included in the recount. They believe that those absentee ballots will benefit Al Franken, and there is you know, evidence that many people who voted by absentee ballot were, you know, were voting for Democrats. This was part of the whole, you know, get out the vote early campaign. But, you know, there is a very strong possibility that this could end up in court.
Now, tell me what you know, because it varies from state to state, but under Minnesota law, what happens if this issue is not resolved by the recount?
Well, you know, it could, two things. One, there would likely be a, I guess you could call it a battle between the U.S. Senate and Governor Tim Pawlenty, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly,
yeah, that's right,
over, you know, appointing an interim senator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing that, you know, if it does not get resolved, you know, after the 111th Congress is seated in January, that, you know, Pawlenty has already, you know, contacted Norm Coleman's camp and said that, you know, he would appoint Norm Coleman as the interim senator,
mm-hmm.
Which, according to some political analysts, he just can't do. That's, you know, that's impossible. Now I should say that this is Norm Coleman's campaign who's, you know, who's saying this.
Well, couldn't we get one of those people that they have at the Oscars, a seat warmer?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They dress well, they look good, they probably smell good.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah. That certainly that would be nice to watch.
Right. Do we have a precedent for this, Jason? Has there been a case where a state was unable to declare a winner?
Yes. In fact, it happened in New Hampshire. It also happened, I think, in 96 it happened as well. But New Hampshire was pretty much the precedent. And that there was a dispute over 36 ballots where the Democrat and Republican could not agree.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened was is that the Senate got involved in the issue. What they were going to do is that they were going to seat the Democrat and in the race, who Republicans, they filibustered the issue when the Senate moved to seat the Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
They then went and had a recount, or I guess actually not a recount, a new election.
Okay, they reran the election.
And
can the Senate order a state to do that?
You know, it's unclear at this point whether they can do. Harry Reid his office said absolutely that the Senate basically has the right to order, you know, well, first they would have to do this. They would have to say that, you know, because the election's in dispute, they would go back, look at the precedent, then basically, you know, try to work with state officials and, you know, order a new election based on old precedent. In addition to that, they're, you know, saying that they can, they have the decision to decide the fitness of its members. You know, so let's say it, you know.
Yeah, well, they've done a great job with Larry Craig and David Vitter on
that.
Right,
exactly.
So those standards are, you know, unassailable.
Well, you know, they're saying that, you know, they have the opportunity to say that, you know, the fitness of its members and, you know, they could possibly, you know, call into question or challenge, you know, Norm Coleman if there's still a dispute after the race ended. You know, perhaps, you know, do something then.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's entirely unclear what they would do. The first thing that, you know, would appears to be the likely scenario is that Al Franken's campaign do two things. One, they're clearly going to go to court if the absentee ballot issue is not resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Because they believe that the election, if Norm Coleman does win the election, he would only win by double digits. And if, you know, if there are still outstanding ballots,
right.
For example, absentee ballots that were wrongfully rejected, mm-hmm. that if they were included would put Franken over the top,
right.
then they're absolutely going to litigate, and they are going to get the Senate involved.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Franken's campaign, the lead recount attorney, was in Washington today, where Washington, D.C., where he made these, you know, these statements.
Mm-hmm.
So they do appear to be working, or at least, you know, keeping the Democratic leadership updated as to the progress. And, you know, the state canvassing board, which is chaired by the Secretary of State, Mark Ritchie, is going to meet on December 16th to, you know, discuss and basically rule on these challenge ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really up in the air. I mean, it's,
it sure is. This is a long one and a wild one.
Yeah.
It'll
you know,
be
it,
very
it,
interesting. Go ahead.
It will, and also, you know, you have the runoff that's going on in
Georgia today. Right.
So,
and we have a report scheduled for tomorrow on the Georgia election with Drew Weston from Emory University. He'll be joining us here on the program. Jason, we'll take a break and return.
Sure.
Jason Leopold with us. Go to his website and read more about it at pubrecord.org. That's the public record, P-U-B record, pubrecord.org on that internet thing. More straight ahead. You can call with a comment. I wish you would. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Nick Tanum is on duty today taking your calls. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we have a collision with no injuries on Thomas Avenue at Chanticleer Avenue. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Shore Road, just east of Route 25, we have a traffic collision with no injuries there. CHP is on the scene. In weather, right now, Monterey is 54 degrees, Salinas is 58 degrees, and
hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Duncan Robinson. Four on three off the left side. Jamal Boykin in the open floor. Goes in to Vidy and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
Next game broadcast Wednesday, the 3rd at 7 p.m. right here at KRXA 540, your local home station for Cal Bears basketball.
La 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 la.
got the Peter B. Collins Show. We're now live in Boston on AM 1510. Tell your friends if you have some. If not, find a stranger on the street. Tell them, hey, Peter B. Collins on AM 1510. Dig it, man. And they'll say, huh? We're talking with the intrepid investigative journalist, Jason Leopold, his website, pubrecord.org. He gave us the lowdown, detail by detail, of the Minnesota recount. And we're joined by Aldous, listening in Madison, Wisconsin, who wants to comment. Go ahead, Aldous, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Jason. Hey, you know, I'm actually really excited about the prospects for Franken because, I mean, honestly, it really wouldn't be that hard for him to challenge. And being that he's would be our first progressive talk host turned senator, I think it would really give you, Peter, a clear pathway when Feinstein comes up for reelection.
Actually, Feinstein might vacate and run for governor here in 2010. So that seat might open up. It's a lot of musical chairs in the Senate with Biden bailing out and Clinton vacating her seat. And, well, of course, Obama vacated a seat, and a lot of people hope Jesse Jackson Jr. will be appointed to that one. So it is fascinating. There is a lot of turnover. But basically, all this in the Franken-Coleman dust-up here, you think that ultimately Al will prevail?
Well, I mean, basically, it's one of those things where Al, thanks to the fact that he's so very up on how the elections have been stolen before, he knows what tactics to look for, and his people are very up on that kind of thing. I don't imagine that there's going to be any way they're going to be able to escape him, considering how close it came down the first time around.
Well, maybe he's learned some things recently, Aldous, but Al Franken's history when he was on Air America is that he was in denial about the stolen elections in Florida and Ohio, and either poo-pooed the issues or would not invite people like Mark Crispin Miller or Brad Friedman, who were critical of those elections, to come on his program. So I hope that on the road to Washington, just like it happened for St. Paul on the road to Damascus, here. Well, Al Franken has said, well, maybe those election integrity people had something there.
Well, he's certainly, Peter, looking, you know, toward those election integrity people now. And in fact, you know, these missing ballots that Franken's campaign first raised last week and that turned up today, they went missing. Let me explain to you how. They went the optical scan voting machines that Minnesota uses did not. The machine broke down. It was replaced. You know, the ballots actually didn't, you know, go through the second time around. So they were unaccounted for. But again, you know, this is just underscores the, you know, the problems you have with these machines, which, you know, in the past, Franken didn't want to hear anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just if I can say, you know, you asked about precedent earlier, and while I mentioned, you know, one issue, also Coleman's camp has been saying that what they are worried about is that the Senate will use use the constitutional provision which basically says the House shall do, or the Senate shall declare the winner of all elections. So there is a constitutional provision that would allow, you know, the Senate to step in and say, we declare the winner. Of course, that would, you know, I highly doubt it will get to that point.
In the last cycle, there were several contested elections, including the one in Florida, where 18,000 electronic votes disappeared.
Right.
And that was under the purview of the House Administration Committee. And they declined to review most of the cases that were presented. They took a look at one, but failed to reverse it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very frustrating when you hope that the system and that the very people who have so much at stake, in this case the members of the United States Senate, would take such a hands-off approach.
Yeah, and by the way, this was, you know, the election was, they use optical scan ballots, optical scan machines. It's a hand recount right now that's taking place.
All right, Aldous, you want to add anything else?
Basically that, yeah, I know Franken was skeptical highly of stolen elections prior to, but that doesn't mean he was ignorant of the claims, and I think now he's learning exactly how to utilize what he may have poo-pooed earlier.
All right.
Absolutely. And, press releases in which they use these key words, you know, integrity, disenfranchisement, et cetera, certainly shows that they've, you know, probably reading Brad blog.
Yep. Aldous, thanks for the call today. Great to hear from you. And, Jason, thank you for joining me. We didn't have time to talk about a very important story you've published about the Pentagon training soldiers to be deployed inside the United States.
Yeah.
We got wind of this a few months ago. It's something of great concern, and please keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll talk about it in the coming weeks.
You got it, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jason Leopold, visit his website, The Public Record, at pubrecord.org. We'll continue after a break here at the top of the hour. Melanie Sloan will check in and report that Sarah Palin wasn't the only candidate who used campaign money to buy her wardrobe.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limousse sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We're at the tail end of a disastrous car year.
Joe Bachera of Car and Driver magazine on November sales figures out today. Compared to the same period last year, Chrysler sales were down 47%, GMs were down 41%, and Ford sales dropped 31%.
None of the conditions that have been responsible for the bad sales this fall have really changed. In fact, in some ways, things are getting worse.
That's the message the Big Three sent to Washington with their pleas for federal loans. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has details.
With auto sales going over a cliff, plummeting to 25-year lows, Detroit's Big Three delivered their plans for salvation to Capitol Hill, along with a desperate plea for cash.
We need $4 billion by the end of this year. The situation's very tight.
In asking for an emergency bridge loan, a total of $12 billion, GM agreed to a radical restructuring, pledging to cut as many as 30,000 employees, nearly a third of its workforce, eliminate up to 2,000 of its nearly 7,000 dealerships, sell or consolidate Saturn, Saab, and Pontiac, and close 11 of 48 plants.
Ford's asking for a $9 billion line of credit as it invests in fuel-efficient technology. Chrysler CEO Bob Nardelli wants a $7 billion bridge loan by the end of the month.
With customers not buying, with dealers not ordering, and with our plants not producing, Chrysler's cash inflow has suffered.
Industry executives plead their case on Thursday. They won't make the mistake they made the last time they went to Washington. Their corporate jets will stay on the ground. All three CEOs will drive hybrid vehicles from Detroit. Barack Obama has dropped plans for a windfall profits tax on oil companies. A transition official says he announced the idea when prices were more than $80 a barrel. Today, oil fell below 47, but analyst Peter Butel says these low prices might not last.
We may see demand start to come back here in the United States. We may see the cold weather eat into supplies. We may see OPEC cut back on the amount of oil that it's willing to give.
CBS News has learned that tomorrow the president-elect will announce New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson as his choice for Commerce Secretary. Mr. Obama said he didn't check Robert Gates' voter registration when he asked him to remain as defense secretary. But today, Gates said he considers himself a Republican. How long does he plan to stay?
The president-elect and I agreed that this would be open-ended, and so there is no time frame.
The stock market made a partial recovery today, the Dow up 270 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus follows Wall Street.
Last week's 12% rally for the stock market was overdone. It was too far, too fast. And yesterday's sell-off was probably overdone. So we're desperately trying to seek some balance in this very volatile stock market.
This is CBS News.
Hi,
Hi, this is Sally Field. I always thought calcium and vitamin D and exercise would keep my bones healthy, but I got osteoporosis anyway, so my doctor started me on once monthly Boniva, and he told me something important. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss.
Boniva ibandronate sodium is a prescription tablet for postmenopausal osteoporosis. See our ad in Cooking Light. Don't take Boniva if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
I've got this one body and this one life, so I'm doing my best to build strong, healthy bones. Ask your doctor if Boniva is right for you.
Boniva. Help stop and reverse bone loss. For a free trial offer, call 1-800-4-BONIVA or visit boniva.com.
A new tourist attraction opens in Los Angeles this weekend. KNX Radio's Andrew Mollenbach previews the Grammy Museum.
50 years after the awards began, the museum shows off its history and plenty more outside the Grammys. You can find Pavarotti's tailcoat or handwritten lyrics from Tupac. But it's not artifacts driving the exhibits. Bob Zantelli is the executive director.
It's an interactive museum where you're encouraged to dig deep into the music through interactivity and technology.
An exhibit called In the Studio is an example of that. You can actually go through the process of recording all the way to mastering an album. It opens on Saturday. Andrew Mullenbeck, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A message in a bottle washed up recently on the beach in Corolla, North Carolina. It came from Barnegat, New Jersey, about 400 miles up the coast. That might not be so remarkable, but in this case, time is more important than distance. The note in the sealed beer bottle was dated August 17, 1969. The bottle was bobbing around out there for nearly four decades. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
When it comes to holiday recipes, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Amy's Google page with Yahoo and filled her kitchen with live turkeys.
Oh, my!
Wait till you see how Yahoo Search can help with recipes.
Did that turkey just type pumpkin pie?
Yep, which instantly gives us this drop-down menu.
Suggesting a ton of recipes and cooking ideas. Helpful.
Cool. Now, how about dinner?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at Yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments welcome any subject, any viewpoint. 888-5-PETER-B.
But she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
Yeah, but she'll pay.
But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner.
And she buys her own clothes.
She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady.
That lady is Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Melanie, welcome.
Always nice to be here, Peter, and congratulations on being on the air in Boston.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm delighted to expand our coverage into New England. And for the benefit of our new listeners, I want to introduce Melanie a little bit. She's a former federal prosecutor. She is the executive director, as I mentioned, of CREW. Their website, where you can get a lot of great information, is citizensforethics.org, and that's F-O-R, not the number, citizensforethics.org. And Melanie's on just about every week to update us on the battle against ethical challenges in Washington, D.C. And, Melanie, one of the issues that some people might think is trivial came into focus because we learned that Sarah Palin had $150,000 worth of a wardrobe upgrade given to her for campaign purposes and paid for by, we don't know exactly which fund the money came from, but we think it's the Republican National Committee. It raised a lot of eyebrows, and when she campaigned in Georgia the other day for Saxby Chambliss, she used retread speeches, and some people suggested she was wearing some of those RNC duds. But you have done some research and discovered that Sarah Palin isn't the only one who used campaign money to buy a wardrobe.
That's right. After the whole Sarah Palin fiasco, and it is pretty interesting to hear that she might be in those same clothes, by the way, because RNC lawyers were apparently sent up to Alaska to retrieve those clothes because they knew it was a campaign finance violation and they were going to donate those clothes to charity, so we'll probably be back on that. But once we recognized that Sarah Palin was using campaign dollars for clothes, we figured, hey, you know, she's probably not alone. I wouldn't be surprised if there was another member of Congress or two who used their campaign finances for clothing. And lo and behold, we did a search. We looked at all the candidates, federal candidates this cycle. So that's anybody who ran in 2008. And we found that several more did, including Rob Andrews of California, Bill Due, who ran for Congress and lost in Utah, mm-hmm. William Brazil, who ran in North Carolina and lost. And somebody on the William Barr Presidential Committee got a $500 clothing allowance.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the law? This is a FICA matter, and I want to pronounce that very carefully. It's
yeah,
under the.
That was a little close.
It's under the Federal Election Campaign Act, or FICA. What are the rules?
The rule is that candidates cannot, quote, convert campaign funds to personal use. So it's prohibited to take your campaign money and turn it to your personal use. And then there are regulations that go along with that statute. And those regulations, those FEC regulations, Federal Election Commission regulations, specifically state that buying clothes is personal use. And the idea behind that is really that if this is something you would need anyway, regardless of whether or not you were a candidate, you can't spend campaign dollars on that. And clothing, we all need that, so you can't go ahead and use your campaign money for clothing. Even if it's nicer clothing than you might otherwise wear.
But can an argument be made, for example, that very bright power blazer that a certain female candidate might wear in a public appearance or in a television commercial for the campaign, is there any case where you can see a legitimate use of campaign funds to buy an article of clothing that the candidate otherwise wouldn't have, wouldn't wear, wouldn't use?
I personally could. The FEC has already spoken on this, and there's a very clear bright line regulation that says flat out, it's not a matter of interpretation, is what is conversion to personal use. The FEC regulation says clothing constitutes personal use. You can't use campaign funds to buy clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's really no question there, and we have these folks who didn't spend a ton of money on their clothes. They all spent basically a few hundred dollars, and we had an interesting development today, and I want to tell you also that we called when we found these instances back on October 30th, before we released this, we called all of these members' offices to ask for comments, and lo and behold, they didn't want to talk to us. But
well, Loretta Sanchez was out shopping for some shoes.
Not shopping. But Rob Andrews today is saying, he's a congressman from New Jersey, he's saying, well, when he did this, he had lost his suitcase, and so he used his campaign credit card to buy new clothes when the suitcase was lost, and eventually the airline paid for the lost clothes.
Yeah.
And so then the airline reimbursed him. But really, the question there is, why didn't he use his own personal credit card? Why was he using his campaign funds for that? Even though he reimbursed them later, it doesn't really matter, because what Rob Andrews is saying is his campaign funds constitute basically a personal line of credit that he can dip into whenever he wants.
Yeah.
So whereas you and I would have, had we lost our clothes, would have had to whip out our credit card and pay it and then wait till we got paid back by the airline. Rob Andrews didn't do that. He was able to use his campaign funds for that. And that's clearly converting campaign funds for personal use if you're treating your campaign funds like your own personal line of credit.
Well, and isn't that pretty common? I mean, don't they routinely charge meals and travel that might be dubious, but they fill out the form that said it was for a campaign purpose, and there isn't a whole lot of ways to challenge that after the fact?
Well, you know, people do that a little less these days with their campaign funds because those are so closely tracked and the rules are so strict. Where you see a lot more of that is on what people do with their political action committee funds. There is no prohibition on the personal use of political action committee funds for personal use. So So you see members dipping into those funds, and now every member has a PAC pretty much, and they can use those funds. Those tend to be used as a slush fund. So that's really the mistake these candidates made. Yeah. They should have used their PAC money for these purchases.
And do you think any chance we'll see in the next few years some reforms? Obama has made ethics an issue, and he campaigned on that. Do you think that we'll see a tightening of some of these rules? The most egregious we saw was Julie Doolittle, whose husband John resigned, did not run for re-election this year, and she was receiving a 15% commission on every dollar donated to his campaign and to his PAC because she served as an agent or a fundraising accessory to his campaigns. And that, to me, in a community property state, is income to the candidate himself.
Right, and I agree with you. And John Doolittle is, by the way, under federal investigation for this, and I expect to see his indictment in the coming months. The problem here is not that these things weren't against the rules. The problem is that the enforcement is so lax. What John and Julie Doolittle was doing was against the law. What Sarah Palin did buying $150,000 worth of clothes, already against the law. But you have to have stronger enforcement in Washington, and that's one of the problems that I see as really the biggest issue facing ethics, just the lack of enforcement of the laws we already have. And maybe Mr. Obama, when he comes in, will insist on stronger enforcement. With the FEC, it's very tough the way the whole organization is set up with four Democrats and four Republicans, and very partisan people on both sides. They never really agree, and they are never willing to come out against somebody of the other party. It's set up to fail.
On another issue, Eric Holder has been nominated by President-elect Obama to serve as his attorney general, and he worked in the Justice Department in the 90s under the Clinton administration. And at the end of that era, he was involved in the discussions that led to the last-minute pardon that Bill Clinton issued to a fugitive named Mark Rich. Rich had fled the country to avoid tax evasion charges, and this was a very controversial case inside the Justice Department. And the New York Times on Tuesday had a lengthy piece about Eric Holder's issues related to the Mark Rich pardon. What's your take on, number one, was his behavior ethical during the last months or last 2 years of the Clinton administration? Because the Times reports that he had various contacts with friends of Mark Rich during that time. But did he violate ethical standards by kind of winking and nodding and saying he was neutral and leaning toward supporting the pardon for Mark Rich?
The fact is, I think Eric Holder behaved deplorably in regard to the Mark Rich pardon. It was what Mark Rich had done, that he was had engaged in one of the largest tax fraud schemes in the United States history, and then fled to Switzerland, and then wanted to be pardoned without ever coming back to face music. That is not the kind of situation that gets pardoned. Almost always, people have dealt with the charges, and most of the time, people have actually already served their sentences when they're pardoned. Yeah. I mean, there are some who aren't, but they're not people who flee the country, are not the people we pardon. And so Mark Rich's situation was prosecutors were rightly horrified to think that he would be pardoned. And then Mr. Holder basically tried to say after the end of the Clinton administration that he didn't really have that much to do with it. But the facts show that he really did have a lot to do with it, that he was the one who suggested that Mark Rich's lawyers get in touch with Jack Quinn, a well-known Washington lawyer who would know the political system and would know how to obtain a pardon. He was then had more than one conversation with Mr. Quinn about the pardon for Mr. Rich. And when he was asked by the White House, he indicated that he, in fact, had a neutral, leaning, favorable view of the pardon, although then later said, despite the fact of his position, he thought that somehow nobody would listen to him, which is kind of hard to believe. So none of that, I think, bodes well. I think that those were pretty big mistakes, and they're pretty serious. That said, Eric Holder otherwise has a phenomenal reputation. He was well-liked when he worked in the Justice Department and at the U.S. Attorney's Office, the U.S. Attorney's Office where I was formerly a federal prosecutor. He's well-respected. He's viewed as a smart, intelligent man who makes good choices, and this is a blemish on an otherwise very impressive career. The real question here is, will the Republicans let this go when they get through Eric Holder's confirmation hearing?
Yeah.
Apparently, Mr. Obama vetted this, and there are several Republicans who said, no, know, wouldn't be the end of the world. They would still they would confirm him despite this issue. But in part, it depends on how big of a public issue this becomes. You know, it's one thing to have just one story on the front pages of the New York Times. If this becomes the kind of issue that we see in the front pages or in the nation's papers day after day after day, then Mr. Holder might not make it through the confirmation proceedings.
Well, and I agree with your assessment here. I would just add two things. One is that the president's pardon power is absolute. And so, really, Bill Clinton is the one, I think, who needs to explain the Mark Rich pardon. Secondly, I'm expecting a whole slew of pardons of top administration officials from George W. Bush, probably like Clinton in the last half hour of his presidency. And I think at that point, what Eric Holder may or may not have done 8 years ago will probably fade. That's my guess, but it also could take on a life of its own. It just depends.
Certainly, I agree with you that ultimately it's Bill Clinton who's responsible for the Mark Rich pardon. It's just not really Mr. Holder's stellar moment of his career.
Indeed. Melanie, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye, Peter.
That's Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Ethics and Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. I'm going to memorize that. Coming up next, your phone calls. Grab a line and we'll talk. The rules here are simple. There are hardly any rules. You can talk about any subject, offer any viewpoint, and call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll talk with you next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Your investment, custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Next Otter games are Friday and Saturday with Cal State University Chico and Cal State University Stanislaus at the Kelp Bed. Both games at 7:30. Of course, on KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we have a collision with no injuries on Thomas Avenue at Chanticleer Avenue. CHP is on the scene there. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Shore Road, just east of Route 25, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. In weather, tonight will be mostly clear. Lows will be in the mid-40s. Here are some temperatures for right now. Monterey is 54 degrees, Salinas is 58 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 60 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening and enjoy your commute. Stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're now live in Boston on AM 1510. Boston, here's your chance to sound off. The free speech zone is open. Our lines are wide open for you, and we pay for the call at 888-5-PETER-B. So go ahead. Call me. And we are offering a prize, a reward, for New England listeners who call into the program for the first time. It is a free DVD of a powerful documentary about the stolen Florida election of 2000. It's called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. It's the Clint Curtis story. And it features the work of Brad Friedman, who is a regular contributor to our program. He's here in the final hour every Friday to talk about election integrity issues, the kind that Al Franken didn't care about when he was a talk show host. And now he has a very strong personal interest as a candidate in a tightly contested election where the recount is underway. And you heard Jason Leopold detail that for us about half an hour ago. We also talked about the candidates who charge wardrobe expenses to their campaign funds. And Melanie Sloan filled us in also about Eric Holder's challenges if he wishes to become the next attorney general. It'll be interesting to see what kind of confirmation hearings we get. And Jeremy Scahill was with us, the guy who wrote the book Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, with a sharp critique of Obama's appointments to date. As he states, number one, it's gotten rave reviews from a lot of right-wingers and neocons, which gives one pause. And the other is that not one anti-war person has been appointed to a top-level post in the Obama national security team. And given that he was elected, really, as you know, a major factor was his position on the war in Iraq and how it contrasted with Hillary Clinton's. I believe that this is a critical issue and that we need to raise our voices, pardon me, to make sure that Barack Obama remembers that it was progressives who were his earliest supporters. It was the anti-war vote that put him over the top in Iowa and that really set the stage for his challenge to the Clinton dynasty. And I think it's really important to remind the president-elect that we do understand that he's building a team. I understand the benefits of continuity. But we need fresh faces and fresh voices in there, people who are not part and parcel of the failed policies of the past. And I am particularly bristling over this holdover of Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense. Now, I have one fact-based question that I'd like to put out to listeners, and often I find that there are great people who know more than I do, and it's one of the benefits of doing a live radio talk show. One of the things I'm trying to find out is, will Robert Gates be required to submit for Senate confirmation? He was confirmed by the last Senate to serve as Secretary of Defense until his resignation. He's not resigning and being reappointed. He is simply staying on the job. He is being held over by the new president. And the fact that the parties are changing control, in my view, doesn't necessarily mean that Bob Gates has to submit to a Senate confirmation process. But I don't know the facts, and I don't know what the precedent is. So if you're an attorney or a political hack or a political junkie, and you happen to know that, I would love to have you call in and share your knowledge with us on the program today. Here's my toll-free number. We're about to go to a break, and we'll take your calls after the break. And I'd like to hear from you, whether you're an old listener on the left coast or a new listener on the east coast. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And if you got a fancy BlackBerry or an iPhone, you prefer it digitally, it's 1-888-573-8372. You dial 1-388-573-8372. And that puts you through directly here. Nick will pick up your call. He puts your name and city up on the screen. And lickety-split, you'll be on the air with me. So I'd love to hear from you today. As I said, old or new listener, you're welcome to contribute on any subject from any point of view here at the Peter B. Collins Show. And for our Boston listeners, I want to remind you to wake up tomorrow morning with Jeff Santos, live and local on AM 1510. He's there 6 to 9 a.m. I'm here 6 to 9 p.m. And we'd be much obliged if you spread the word to your friends and family.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
PWT News. We are here at the North Pole where scandal has erupted. Accusations, rumors, and all-out attacks are flying fast and furious around Santa's Toy Shop this holiday season. Can St. Nicholas himself really be guilty of sexual harassment against one of the reindeer? Look, there's Dasher. Dasher, can you comment on the scandal?
You want to comment? I got a comment. I don't know what happened. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Can Christmas be saved in the face of these accusations?
I'm flying. I'll be leading the eight this year, next year, every year.
And does Mrs. Claus have a drinking problem?
Lady, what the are you talking about?
Paperwing Theater Company presents the dark Christmas comedy, The Eight Reindeer Monologues, December 5th through 22nd at 320 Hoffman Avenue in Monterey. Get tickets at the door or by calling 675-0521. The Eight Reindeer Monologues is a tart alternative to candy cane Christmas cheer. Call 675-0521 to reserve tickets now. Come and see what all the eight reindeer have to say about this scandal. Call 675-0521 now.
I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise. You know. That's Emily Dickinson. And this is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, inviting you to join me in celebrating this little recluse whose whole life was largely spent in her upstairs bedroom. I say largely because it was a huge life, enormous, outsized. I say whole life because it was epic, heroic, tragic, comic, witch and clown and lover, bursting with pain and joy, an intense life, a live birthday performance, December 13th at 4 p.m. at the Cherry Center in Carmel, and here on KRXA 540 a.m., December 7th at 3 p.m., and on December 14th at noon. What her life means to the world, to you and me, around the world with Emily Dickinson as my traveling companion, this quirky nobody who never left her room, so they say.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Ready? Blame? Fire. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open for you in the free speech zone. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or email peter at peterbcollins.com. The PBC show comes to you from the Wild West Coast. California's broke. We got an action movie star who was born in Austria pretending to be our governor. And he has called a state of emergency, a fiscal emergency here, to try to knock heads in the legislature to raise taxes and cover the budget gap. The biggest problem? His fellow Republicans and a guy named Grover Norquist. Because the members of the California legislature who call themselves Republicans are more loyal to the tax nut who wants to drown government in the bathtub than they are to the people of California or their own governator. And we've got a real mess here in the wild, wild west. And one of the glimmers of hope is that we're going to get bailed out like the banks and maybe Detroit. As part of the next Democratic members of Congress are talking about a $500 billion bailout of state governments. And frankly, this is the most intelligent part of bailouts that I've heard so far. Because if we can cushion state governments through this economic downturn, which I think is going to be 18 months to 2 years, and could reach the level of a depression, we've now admitted that a year ago we went into recession. And we won't admit it for at least a year after it becomes obvious to everybody. Still, I believe that putting money into state governments will prevent layoffs, cutbacks in critical social spending, and will help provide a safety net for those who are most vulnerable in this economic swamp that we're living through right now. So I'm still lukewarm about a bailout for Detroit. We talked with Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress about that earlier today, and your comments on Detroit are welcome here at the Peter B. Collins Show. To your calls now, the Free Speech Zone is officially underway. We've got John in Carmel Valley up first. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Going back to the Gates thing, which I guess some callers are going to think I'm now as fixated on that as I was on Pelosi, and I am. Reason. Look what happened when Pelosi announced, I guess it was no more than a day after she took possession of the speakership, she said, as everyone now knows, impeachment isn't even on the table, or something to that effect.
Right.
We were in such a state of wonderment and shock that for months, I don't think anybody hardly paid any attention because we didn't know what she meant. We thought, oh, she must be just trying to pacify those who claim she's third in line to be president, some such nonsense.
Yeah.
She was right on serious about what she said. And I think the Gates, and it wasn't acted upon or protested soon enough. So in this instance, the Gates thing, which I think is another gross, incredible act of Pelosiism, I'm convinced that callers and just people in general need to make their unhappiness with this known, And so I'm not going to sit around about it in this instance. In
well, I would suggest you start with Barbara Boxer. If anybody is going to vote against Robert Gates continuing as Secretary of Defense, and I still don't know specifically if there will be a reconfirmation for him. He may skate on that. But assuming there is a confirmation required for Gates to continue at Defense, the most likely no votes will be Boxer, Feingold, and perhaps Sherrod Brown of Ohio. And well, those are the people I would start with, John.
Well, let me make this point. I want to challenge all your listeners, and now with Boston, you've got Hovet and plenty of other intellectual places to check me out on this. I cannot think of a single instance going back. I'm 63, so I go back to the end of the Second World War, and I cannot think of any president who left one single cabinet member in office. It's part of the spoil system, mm-hmm. as well as the whole thing is the idea is there's a new house in order here, and he has not only gone against that. Actually, this is a change, you know, in a weird upside-down kind of a way.
It's the change we didn't expect.
And it's rotten to the core. I mean, this is no good. It couldn't be a bigger capital letter example of unchange, regressivism rather than progressivism.
Thank you, John. I want to jump to Marianne just up the road from you in Monterey, listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Marianne.
Hi. You know, I have a sense that all of us have probably seen new managers go in and they get a whole new staff and it really creates chaos. I think at this sensitive time in our history with so much at stake, I think he's being very wise to keep things as steady as possible, the same as possible, for a time, with working with people he knows what they're going to do, the other staff knows what they're going to do, and to keep things steady as possible. They've repeatedly said this is open-ended. I don't think Barack will hesitate to let go of somebody who doesn't work out. And you can cause just total, so much more chaos by changing everybody walking in.
Well, Marianne, I don't want chaos, and I understand your case for continuity. But I believe that there are many other people who could be named as Secretary of Defense who could provide for a certain level of continuity and confidence among our troops in uniform and the policymakers in Washington. But Robert Gates is tainted. He is a guy who has kissed up to politicians all of his career, and he has skated on his history. And we've had on our program recently both Mel Goodman and Ray McGovern, who not only served with him at the CIA, but both were his superior at the time that he was climbing the ranks and crawling over other bodies to do so. Mm. He was part of the October surprise that was formulated by Reagan when he was running for president and put into play by Bill Casey, who became the CIA director and promoted Gates because of it. And then he was a Soviet expert. And frankly, the games that they played in the Cold War to build up our Pentagon budget by doing this annual event of the Soviet threat was something that was perfected as Gates rose through the ranks at the agency. Now, let's fast forward to just the last 2 years. He's no Donald Rumsfeld, and I'll always be grateful for that, okay? But Rumsfeld's people, for the most part, are still in the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And without, you know, we don't know exactly how much Obama will maneuver to replace those second-level people at the Pentagon, but many of them were part of the torture policy. They were part of the secret plans that diverted illegally funds that were legislated for the war in Afghanistan into Iraq. And the list goes on and on of the malfeasance and unconstitutional behavior of this Republican Pentagon. And it's not chaos that I want. I want a clean break. I want to see Obama's policies enforced and implemented by people who actually support them. And with the team that he has selected, as Jeremy Scahill pointed out earlier today, we don't have a single person who was aligned with Obama in opposing the march to war in Iraq. And we have a team of so-called rivals with huge egos. And I'm very pessimistic that the effort that Obama is undertaking will pan out the way he hopes. And the last thing I'll say is that he's hoping that by keeping Gates on, that a Republican will be in charge of the failed Republican war, and that will keep the Republican attack machine from attacking Obama. And I'm sorry, I don't think that will pan out either, because the Republican attack machine will do what it's designed to do.
Well, I'm just hoping and trying to bet on that Obama will let go of anybody who doesn't work out. I just maybe I'm a false hope, but
well, maybe on that score, you know, he cut Reverend Wright loose.
Yeah.
When he became a liability, so maybe if somebody doesn't perform well, he will move quickly. But I'm not so sure. I think that, you know, there may be this brilliant plan to basically use Gates to be the man with dirty hands who gets us out of Iraq. But we know that the intention is to put more troops into Afghanistan. I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah.
And I don't see anybody on this team that's been assembled so far, despite all this talk about, oh, I want debates and I want people to argue the issues before me and then we'll make a decision. I don't see anybody there who has publicly questioned the idea of putting more troops into Afghanistan.
Do you think maybe he's appeasing in a little certain lighthearted way to stop the fighting and the attacking, and maybe he's going to get in there and then?
Well, Marianne, again, my cynical experience in watching politics for over 45 years is that you will not see that love returned. Bill Clinton came into Washington, the outsider. He washed away all the sins of the Bush administration before him. He ended the Iran-Contra investigations. He thought that was going to buy him some love and some freedom from attack. And they started attacking on day one over gays in the military. And so I see what Obama's doing. I think it's nice on an ideal level. I don't think it works in Washington, and I hope I'm wrong, and I'd love to eat these words as early in the new administration as I can. But I got to tell it like it is and call it like I see it.
Yeah, that's good.
Marianne, thanks for your call. I love talking with you. Appreciate you checking in today. By the way, I need to make one more mention of this. Our program is recorded and available as a podcast. If you go to peterbcollins.com, there's a link right there on the homepage to podcasts. And our podcasts are hosted by our San Francisco affiliate, Green 960. And they have sent me copious apologies, but yesterday a technician there made a mistake. And instead of posting the third hour of the Peter B. Collins Show with Reverend Billy and David K. Johnston on our website or on our page, they accidentally posted an hour of the Michael Savage Show. It was unintentional. Carl Rove didn't have anything to do with it. And we once more apologize to our podcast listeners.
Excuse me.
We'll take a quick break and return to more of your phone calls in the free speech zone. You want to chime in? Boston, I'd love to hear from you. There's a line open right now. Toll free at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Great to have you with us on board the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, we have a couple of incidents this evening. On southbound 1, just north of Rio Del Mar Boulevard, we have a traffic hazard. A vehicle was stalled in lane number 1. And on Capitola Road at Chanticleer Avenue, there is a no-injury collision. CHP is on the scene there. and weather. Your forecast for tonight will be beautiful and mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow is going to be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Santa Cruz, a city so forward-thinking that a man does not have a receding hairline, he has a progressive face. Santa Cruz, we're at a hardware store. You will get construction advice from three people who don't work there. Santa Cruz, where a sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service, really means pants optional. Where hot flashes are considered power surges. Santa Cruz, where someone having sex is likely to shout out, "Oh, Krishna!" Santa Cruz, the city so progressive, people debate whether or not breast milk is vegan.
I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruz Comedy Hour.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruz.
It's an all-new Planet Cruz comedy show at the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz this Friday, December 5th, 8 p.m. This Friday, we will have liberal comedy songwriter phenom Roy Zimmerman, along with the Jewish family comic Jeff Applebaum, science comedian Brian Mallow, the young rising star Grant Lyon, the great Morgani, the Planetoid Band, sketch comedy with sound effects master Sven Davis, Lisa Licious, the spontaneous applause sign lady, all at the next live Planet Cruise, Friday, December 5th at the Columba. That's at 320 Cedar Street in Santa Cruz. Tickets $18 in advance, save $5. At Streetlight Records, Gateways Books in Santa Cruz, or online at planetcruise.org. Come on down to the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour at the Columba. Laugh your glutes off.
We continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I got a line open at 888-5. Peter B. It's Motown bailout week in Washington, and baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's right, Rick Wagner, the CEO of General Motors, is driving a Malibu hybrid sedan from Detroit to Washington to beg for money. Well, at least he got the message that flying the corporate jet at 30 grand an hour last time wasn't a real winner. But it's going to be interesting to see what tearjerkers they pull. And my whole focus, as you know, is on the workers. If this bailout, $4 billion in December for General Motors and $8 billion next year, preserves full employment as it currently stands, and you know, the ranks of auto workers have declined by almost 50% in the last 10 years. And so we need a standstill agreement that there will be no more auto worker layoffs and no layoffs in the supply chain. And if that's what they use the bailout money for, as we retool and move to a green economy, I can sit still for it. I'm not crazy about it, not really wildly in favor of it. These are private businesses that have been run into the ground. And as I said earlier today, they've already turned the corner at Dead Man's Curve, and I just don't think they're coming back, not as we knew them before. Billy's on the line from Capitola, California today. Hi, Billy.
Hey, man. Hey, you used to play music before you did talk, right?
Yeah, I was a DJ.
Did you ever, like, put together a set of just stuttering songs like the one you just played, the Baby and My Generation and Changes? I did that.
Well, one of my engineers at a radio station in Chicago, Louis Sabatini, who is still, I think he's a TV engineer now for ABC there in Chicago, he took the Bill Withers song, Ain't No Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And,
thanks for mentioning that.
And looped it together. I know. And it went on for about 4.5 minutes, and we played it twice, and we got huge complaints from the I don't know what you call stutterers without calling them stutterers, but from the stuttering protection community, and so we had to put it on the shelf.
God, there's always somebody that gets upset, even though we didn't mean it that way. It was just a, well, anyway.
Well, and I had a good friend, Doug, we called him Doug Nash, but Doug was a college buddy who also worked at a radio station for me as a call screener, and he would answer Peter Allen's show, and he had a good sense of humor about it, and we could kid him about it and make fun, but I do understand when you take broadsides at a certain group of people and they can't defend themselves.
Well, no, there's always someone who's just paid to do that is what you need. For every group, there's someone paid to complain if someone says something that can be taken wrong about them, and we just have to live with that. Peter, I wanted to comment on a couple of things. First of all, Clinton are being put together today. Do you know what for?
Well, Cuomo to replace Hillary Clinton. Also, Bill Clinton has been mentioned as a possible replacement senator from the Empire State. And what Kennedy? Which Kennedy? Bobby?
It doesn't matter.
I think Bobby Kennedy has been.
Caroline and Bobby are both been mentioned.
Yeah, Bobby's been mentioned as EPA director.
But here's my point: all of those names are political names from the past.
Yep.
I'm sick to death of only putting up the sons and daughters, you know, because we had the idiot son. Obviously, these other choices look a lot better than the idiot son of the rich man, Bush. But still, let's drop that. Let's just drop that. And by the way, we don't need no stinking Boston. Actually, you know, we do. I'm from back east, and I happen to know that California would be nowhere if it wasn't from us fast-talking, fast-thinking East Coast guys. So I do want to hear from Boston.
Yeah, well, I'm with you there. Now, let me just parse this a little bit, because I don't consider Cuomo to be part of a dynasty. His dad was governor and mayor and, you know, kind of a leader on the back benches of the Democratic Party. And I generally like Mario Cuomo, but I don't feel that this is as much of a legacy appointment, because Andrew Cuomo has proven himself independent of his father.
Without a doubt. My point, though, is still there's something wrong with the American electorate that it is so attracted to names it knows already. It shouldn't be about name recognition, but it really is.
Well, did you hear the story that John Laird told last week?
John,
for our Boston listeners, has been a member of the California legislature and was chair of the Assembly Budget Committee during these very difficult years, and spent a lot of time talking with Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, his crew. And Laird told us about a certain meeting where Governor Schwarzenegger agreed to meet with members of the Assembly, who sat down and criticized him for his failure to develop a budget and get his own people to vote for it. And Schwarzenegger didn't respond to the merits of the argument. He just looked at this guy, who I don't know who it was, and he said, you know, nobody knows who you are, and everybody knows who I am. And it is, unfortunately, name recognition that launched Arnold Schwarzenegger into the recall and his successful election.
There, thank you for proving my point.
Yeah.
Name recognition gets you in trouble.
Well,
it doesn't serve the electorate. It's
well,
the least important thing about somebody.
I'm with you, Billy, but this is a weakness of the corporate media. They think that the soap opera works better if we're familiar with Bobby Ewing.
Oh, yeah. Look, the media is the problem with everything. Nixon, real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to a tape today where he says about McGovern after he beats him. He goes, God, what an arrogant man, and what a bad man. You know, it's interesting how the worst people in the world project who they are onto other people. Which one's the bad man, Nixon, McGovern?
Hard. It's not. That's
it?
Not hard for me, Billy. Hey, thanks for your call. And Frost Nixon is. It looks like it's shaping up to be a fascinating movie, and it's coming out, I think, at the end of next week. We'll have a review from Gary Chu just before it opens.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Thank you, Billy. And now we go to Big Sur on the California coastline. Donna is there. Hi, Donna.
Hi, you. I'm still here.
I know you are. I'm
been
glad.
Been here ever since day one.
Well, and you've had fires and no floods at Big Sur, but you have had a really rough year there, and I'm glad you're surviving.
Well, I just want to put I can't help but agree with all the points that have been brought up in the program tonight, but I got to tell you something positive.
Please.
Okay. Thanks to Sophania White's creative talents, a little piece of Big Sur will be hanging from the White House Christmas tree this holiday season. She's a longtime Big Sur resident and an artist, and they sent out a thing like, you know, submit. So she submitted this orb, this beautiful ornament orb. Not surprisingly, White painted a Big Sur seascape to the coast's most famous landmarks, Bixby Bridge and the waterfall at Julia Pfeiffer Burns State Park.
Oh, I love that.
Make appearances on the orb. And let's see. Most of all, she's thrilled. She will be the Big Sur's emissary to America's capital. For me to represent Big Sur is the biggest honor. I love it here, and I feel so blessed to live here. And I just have to say, there is something special about the Big Sur spirit, and that it is being carried to the Christmas tree is amazing.
All right, Donna, thank you for that positive note, and let's just hope the Bush family doesn't take that home with them. They'll wind up in a library in Texas.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show podcast, available shortly after the program. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations, and your earbuds, too.
Keep smiling.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My computer works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Government loans will come at a heavy price for the big three U.S. automakers. GM CEO Rick Wagoner has sent Washington a restructuring plan that will cut up to 30,000 jobs and up to 2,000 dealerships.
It's a very aggressive plan, one marked by a number of tough but necessary actions, and one that will require significant sacrifices from all GM stakeholders.
General Motors wants up to $18 billion in government loans. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has more.
Ford, in seeking a $9 billion line of credit, agreed to invest $14 billion in new technology, improve fleet fuel economy by 26% over the next 4 years, and consider the sale of its Volvo brand. Chrysler is seeking a $7 billion bridge loan by the end of the month. And all three CEOs have agreed to work for a dollar a year if they get government money.
They'll be on Capitol Hill to make their pitch on Thursday, and they'll drive to Washington this time. The corporate jets will be left in Detroit. A chilling report today on terrorists and their goals against the United States.
A bipartisan commission warns within 5 years, terrorists will likely have the capability to launch a major biological or nuclear attack.
Al-Qaeda and other groups have shown a desire to acquire it, and we need to have more urgency.
Panel member and former Congressman Tim Romer says the study recommends a push to expand intelligence assets and international cooperation, and to put a single White House official in charge of monitoring weapons of mass destruction. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
In a speech at Harvard today, National Intelligence Director Mike McConnell said the terrorist group believed to have carried out last week's attack in Mumbai, India, is the same group that attacked trains in that city 2 years ago. It has its roots in Pakistan. The votes are being counted in Georgia, where Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss was forced into a runoff with Democratic challenger Jim Martin. With 44% of the precincts reporting, Chambliss has an early lead, 61% to 39%. With Senate races undecided in Georgia and Minnesota, the Democrats are two votes shy of a filibuster-proof majority. Barack Obama met with members of the National Governors Association in Philadelphia today. The economic crisis was topic A.
To solve this crisis and to ease the burden on our states, we're going to need action, and we're going to need action swiftly.
He asked the governors to help him draft an economic stimulus.